The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with five Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with five Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, guys. The best show is on the air. We're getting ready. Got a good one for you tonight. We've got Julie Klausner's going to be live in studio. So get ready. What am I doing here? What am I doing? Phone number 201-332-3484. That is the number for you to get in on the action for tonight's exciting show. The topic for tonight is, what is that dopey thing that you can do or that you're proud of that no one else would know or care about? And the hashtag is Stupid Achievements for tonight's show. That is what we will be talking about tonight. All kinds of other stuff coming up later in the show. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the dulcet tones of me and the gang as the best show begins in a matter of moments. But let me just tell you guys, tonight's episode of the best show is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace over at squarespace.com and enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off on your order. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now, the best show is about to begin.
Yes.
The best show, yeah, you know that it's the best show, and it'll always
everybody. Ladies, gentlemen, youngsters, oldsters, the best show's back on the air. How's this sound, Mike? Just good? Crisp. I like that. Mike's on his game. I like, you know, that talking to last week really seemed to take effect. He took to it. I told him it was strike two. And he, to his credit, he shaped up. I didn't get the usual, what do I call that? The toot that I usually get, the eye roll. Like, what I try to do with Mike is I say something to him, and then I turn away like I'm walking away, then I quick turn back, and I always see his eyes rolling. I catch a mid-eye roll. All of these here, Dudio, Mike, they're all plotting against, what if I just turned like super paranoid?
They're all
trying to bring down, of course, that's why they helped bring the show back, is so they could bring it down. It makes perfect sense. Nothing like when a crazy person explains to you, and they're just like, no, look, you follow, right? And you're just like, no, I don't, and the more you talk about it, the less I'm following what you're saying. Oh, goodness gracious, what do we have, what music did we just hear on The Best Show? By the way, my name's Tom. I'm the host of the show. We just heard Sunshine in the Rain with their song Come On and Take a Ride, taken from the Serious Rockers collection that was put out by the Unblinking Ear Empire. It's run by Paul Bruno. You know him, the king of Staten Island. You'll catch him riding his 10-speed up and down Highland Boulevard. It's called Serious Rockers. Unblinking Ear is the label. I mean, I think there's a band camp set up for it, so you can track that down. Not hard to track down. Just Google the thing. You can figure it out. Before that, Limonanias. Limonanias. Yeah, that's right. Limonanias. They're from France, I believe. I'm going to assume they're from France. So bad with all this stuff. They have a collection out called I've Got Trouble in Mind. It's compiling all of their 7-inches and rare tracks between 2009 and 2014. Can't miss that, man. It's a good album. And the name of the song is Je mean vase. The mean vase, I think, is what it means in French. It's on Trouble in Mind Records. Track them down over on your computer. I believe they have a web presence. We will have playlists linked over at thebestshow.net to all the music we play on the show. That's happening now. We're getting that up, and it will be there for you. So if you hear something you like, you can go buy it. Before that, holy moly, Michael Cronin. How about that song? That was Made My Mind Up from his upcoming album. His third album, MC3, and it's on Merge, comes out in May. You got a little sneak peek here on The Best Show. Sneak peek. It's such a great album, too. This is going to be the year of Michael Cronin. Get ready. And starting us off, we heard Shannon and the Clams from their album Dreams in the Rat House. Unlearn was the name of that song, and that's from, like I said, Dreams in the Rat House on the Hardly Art record label. Good stuff indeed. How about that? You listen to that music, you write that stuff down, you go around, you tell everybody you know that stuff, and then you're super cool. Then you're super cool. That's what the best show's good for. Super cool shortcuts. Maybe that'd be the name of my if I open a barber shop, Super Cool Shortcuts, right? Get Mike there, put a razor in his hand. Buzz. What kind of style do you want?
I want to get the corn muffin. Looking to get the, kind of want my hair to look like Roger Taylor from the Rio video.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, yeah. Guy comes in again. I'd like to get the, can I get a John Moss, cut? The drummer from Culture Club? I'd like to, get his hair.
How about I make you look more like Ollie Score?
Oh, the 80s rock comedy, right? Get the Ollie Score haircut, the drummer from A Flock of Seagulls. Boom, 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 bam, boom. How did they sign off on that for a TV show? Look, I'm glad it's there now. When I hear it, I'll sign off on that Seinfeld bass stuff. But can you imagine the day they suggested that? They should have been walked off the lot.
What are we thinking about for music on this thing? Well, I was thinking we'd have just a bass. Just going burp, burp, burp. Boom, burp, 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 boom.
It's like budget cuts. Budget cuts. A lot of comedians don't have the greatest musical taste. That's a good thing about The Best Show. We know what we're talking about music-wise here. Tell you. I wouldn't want to see some of these iPods. You imagine what some of these iPods would look like? Louis C.K.'s iPod? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, what's on here? Oh, some street musician and some Bix Beiderbecke is on here. Yeah, Bix. Yeah, I just have public domain music on my iPod. Camptown Races. I Dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. Whose iPod would be the worst? Did we ever do that topic, Mike? We did, right? We should do a more in-depth version of worst celebrity iPod. I'm writing this down. If people have ideas for that tonight, you can tell me who you think has the worst celebrity iPod. Seinfeld's would be pretty bad. Just imagine the music he likes.
I like James Taylor.
Like they all like guy. They like him because they met him at things. Like, oh, can you imagine actually willingly listening to a James Taylor thing? It's like hostage music. That's like music they play to break your spirit. Just put that album Gorilla on a loop. And I like the idea that it's iPods, too, now. Like, worst celebrity iPod. There's like 8 people with iPods left. I got an iPod. I ain't ditching mine, man. But I read this Rolling Stone article where they're like, hey, Chris Rock, he still has an iPod. Well, what's he supposed to throw it out? Just because... Just because they're shoving a different thing at you now? You're supposed to, let me throw my iPod out. Apparently there's another thing that I'm supposed to own this stuff on. Oh, don't get me started on that, going down that road. You know what road I am going to take you down, though, right now? A road where I tell you about fantasy baseball! Guys, gals, youngsters and oldsters alike, the weather's getting warmer. Spring is here, and you know what that means. When spring's here, that means baseball's here. When baseball's here, that means that fantasy baseball is here. You know how I love my fantasy sports. My basketball, I'm in the finals right now in my fantasy basketball league. We're in the home stretch. I'll find out by tomorrow. I'll know whether I am a champ or not. And it is so much fun to do. So that's why baseball season, you gotta do fantasy baseball, and you go to DraftKings.com, which is where all the action is. They're the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy, you know what that means? No season-long commitments. Instant action, instant cash. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your spoils, to reap your rewards? You can win big cash every day. Why? No reason why. You go to DraftKings.com. It's a brand new season every day. You just select two pitchers, eight position players. You stay under the salary cap. Put your team together, and you could be on the way to a big payday. Last year, Pete from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings in one day, just playing fantasy baseball. So what you do is you hurry on over to DraftKings.com right now. You enter in promo code BEST to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code BEST for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. 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 That's where you go. Fantasy baseball. And also, Squarespace. We've talked about Squarespace here. I've talked about my technical inadequacies, how I'm bad with computers and building these things. I don't know anything about web design. Anytime I start doing something, trying to build a thing on the computer like that, it just ends up with me being sad or mad and just yelling at my computer. But thankfully, Squarespace is here for people like me and you who have ideas that we want to do on the computer, but we don't have the skills to do it. Squarespace provides simple, powerful, and beautiful website templates for you to work with. The templates are a part of Squarespace's responsive design, which means your website scales to look great on any device. Every website also comes with a free online store if you need it. You want something simple, though? Something basic? You do the cover page feature. That lets you set up a basic, beautiful, one-page online presence in a matter of minutes. Squarespace also gives you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website for only $8 a month. You can even get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the whole year. So start with a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. And when you go to squarespace.com, make sure you enter in offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase and to show support for the best show. Once again, squarespace.com. Enter in offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting the best show. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Tonight, we will have Julie Klausner live in the studio. coming up shortly. We will also revisit last week's amazing top 100 fictional characters of all time list. Look, the last time when I did this last week, I was just throwing out numbers left and right. End of the show is the first time I saw the list all put together. So you know what I did? I sat down. I was reading Twitter, seeing what the suggestions people were making. Revised the list a little bit, cleaned it up. And now, I will say that this list stands as the record. But I will also say that the list will evolve. I'll go back, check on it, work on it, tighten it up, dump some people, add other people. That's how it goes, man. We'll crack this thing open. We'll read from that later in the show. Get the revised list. But the topic for tonight is stupid achievements. Everybody's got these things that you're proud of. But you know it's dumb. Gets no traction with anybody else. But you're proud of it. Don't matter to anybody else. It means nothing. Or they will make you embarrassed to tell others. So that's what we will talk about throughout the show tonight. Mike, these calls, are any of them not about the topic tonight? Line one is not about the topic. Let's bring to the air line one. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Who's this?
This is Dave in Woodside.
Dave in Woodside. Woodside is where again?
Woodside, Queens.
Okay.
You
got to assume people don't know where Woodside is.
That's true. That's a little presumptuous of me.
Thank you. Remember, this is a worldwide show, my friend.
That's right. Woodside, Queens, a small little.
Is not your community access program.
That's right.
So what did you want to say, sir?
So I had a very quick apology and related question for you.
An apology?
Yes.
Who are you apologizing to?
Well, I'm apologizing to you, actually.
I like this.
So this past Friday, I went to the pre-show and the show for Cox Barber. Mm-hmm. And I got to the pre-show a little early, was talking to friends, enjoying myself. And I think by the time I had seen you there and introduced myself, I probably had been enjoying myself a little too much.
Now, for people who don't know, because, again, you're assuming everybody knows where Woodside is, and you just throw out Cox Barber like everybody knows what that is.
That's right. Yeah.
There's this band, Cox Barber. They're a British band, and they've been around for forever.
Yeah.
And their songs are kind of like, what would you call that, second wave oi?
It's like second wave oi, but sung by a really happy falsetto guy.
And their songs are anthemic.
Yes.
And every song, you're pumping your fist in the air. You're getting ready to take on the world.
That's right. That's right. Leaping off cliffs, skydiving.
Exactly. So they played. They haven't played New York in 15 years.
Yes.
So Cox Barber come back. Their triumphant return to New York, and they decide to hold it at Warsaw. America's weirdest venue. Not sure why shows take place there, but they do. So they sell pierogies there, and you can eat. So that show, I'll say first of all about that show. When I got there, I thought I was at the wrong place. I thought I was at a Michael Chiklis lookalike contest. I thought like 1,500 people had entered this Michael Chiklis lookalike contest. Because a lot of Michael Chiklis looking dudes at that show, man. Yeah. A lot of, right?
It was a SHIELD convention.
It was what?
It was a SHIELD convention.
It was like, it could have been ShieldCon 2015. Or it could have been a Curly from the Three Stooges convention. Tell you, speaking of the sponsors, the Harry's should have sponsored that thing.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of guys slapping shaving cream on their head before their big night at the Cox Borrow show.
Or Selsun Blue.
Selsun Blue. That's my favorite Steely Dan song. Selsun Blue. Right? There you go. I just heard Mike crack the beer. He's in business. The Ted Williams of Coors Light is back. Right? He's got his batting average. He's hitting 400. Out there. So, young man, you were at this show.
Yes.
And also, I guess the security was pretty tight for this thing. I guess they were ready for some sort of soccer hooligans to to do their business there.
Yeah, some kind of rioting.
But it didn't. Everybody's having a grand old time. It was nice. Everybody was having fun. Right?
Could have been better. Yeah, could have been more positive.
So I get there. I'm online at waiting to get in at this the security line. The guy's like, you have any keys on you? I'm like, yeah, I have keys. No, I don't. I have put my thumb up against my door. Yeah, I have keys. Everybody here has keys on them. And then I take my keys out. The guy looks at me and goes, oh, you got a lot of keys. Yeah, I'm a janitor. Do you want to hear? I'm a superintendent of a building. Got a lot of keys. I know I have a lot of keys on the thing. I got a lot of doors, man. Got a lot of keys. I got a lot of doors. Not my fault. This is some one-door bleeper. Right, Mike? This guy's a one-door M bleeper. You know what I mean? Not my fault this guy's a one-door M bleeper. I got doors, man. Oh, you got a lot of keys there. Yeah. Security. Although, to be fair, this guy's doing security for a Cox Sparrow show. He's a little tired of patting everyone down. To him, that was like an interesting little turn of event. Ooh, this guy's got a lot of keys. I should mention it. Maybe we'll get a conversation going about keys. Oh, yeah, I got a lot of keys on here. Got a key for my cars on here. Got a key for, this one's for my house. This other key. Like, is that what you want? You want a conversation about the keys? Tie the line up? Then you'll end up with the soccer riot that you're trying to avoid. And what's up with this, these Americans who are so, look, you want to be into soccer? I get it. I like soccer just fine. You know what I mean? It's fine. It's good. I get it. I get the appeal. I like World Cup action. I can't relate to any specific teams. I'm not going to root for, Manchester or Arsenal. I don't know who to root for with that stuff. But all I hear at this Cox Sparrow show are these people going, oh, you're going to watch the soccer game tomorrow? Football game tomorrow? You going to watch it? And it's like, you guys, you know that if you're into it, I'm all for it. You like what you like. God bless you. More power to you. But there's that point where these are the same people be like, ooh, football. It's like, yeah. No, soccer is football, but here. If you like it just because it's exotic, then it's just like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I think we should have bowling hooligans.
What?
Maybe not.
Your phone's conking out there, buddy. So what happened? You want to apologize? What, were you drunk and you came up to me?
Yeah, but I did the, what made it all the worse was, I think I was being friendly. Hello?
Your phone. And go on. Get your phone in order. You're going to have to apologize twice. Would you walk away from the spot? You had a good spot before. Go back there.
I think I walked up and I was saying hello, and then I even sort of fourth wall broke it and said, you know, I hate when people do something like this when they shouldn't be talking this much. And then I excused myself, and then I went up to you again at the show. So that first thing happened at the pre-show. Mm-hmm. And then I think I went up to you again at the show and did the old, like, kind of pulling on your arm. And I think basically repeated the exact same thing I said to you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
You were drunk, right?
Yeah.
So what? I didn't mind. I remember you. I didn't mind you. You seemed like a perfectly nice guy. It's fine by me.
Remorse the next morning, yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. Come on. Ease up on yourself.
Did you like the show?
I did like the show.
Okay,
I was
good.
A little tired, but I liked the show. So what was the other thing you wanted to say?
Oh, that was my follow-up. I was just going to ask what you thought of the show.
Oh. Okay. Thanks for the call. Goodbye. I want to know what I thought about the show.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
My friends, I mentioned to you on, if you go, if you got to sign up for this, this mailing that goes out. It's this, we send this mailing. We'd like to send a mailer out, I think is. You can go to, thebestshow.net. Sign up for the mailing list. We're going to try to send, little notifications out every Tuesday. Tell you what's going on. Sign up for it. And on that, I said that I would announce an upcoming Sharpling and Worcester live show with special guests. I said I would say what city it's in tonight. What city is it in? Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Get the whatcha call going there, right? Press your luck. Get that going. And the whammy's on the Hot 100, the top 100 list now, by the way. The whammy's on it. What do you think of that, Mike? What? I did. Who put the whammy on? Mike, I redid the list. Bumped a few people. Added a few people. The whammy's on it now. When I read the order, you'll hear it. So anyway, the next Sharpling and Worcester live show will be in Nashville on May 16th, 2015. Sharpling and Worcester and friends will be appearing live at Third Man Records. You know Third Man Records, that's Jack White. His venue and his establishment. Tickets are on sale right now. They went on sale now over at thirdmanstore.com. Just so you know, Saturday, May 16th, Sharpling and Worcester live with special guests. That show. It's 18 plus, so 18 years old and plus can get into that. For one night only, we will be playing Nashville at the Third Man Records. And if that's not exciting enough, we will be, that night, we will be recording the show for release as part of the Third Man Live LP series. So there will be a Sharpling and Worcester live album that we will record that night in Nashville. May 16th. And again, tickets are on sale right now at thirdmanstore.com. You go there, you get tickets, you come see us. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll do other, we're doing other cities. We're doing other cities, but this is where it starts. We did New York, we did Chicago. Now we're doing Nashville, Third Man Records, May 16th. So yeah, get your tickets, man. That thing's going to sell out. And we're recording a live album that night. How about that? After that Cox Sparrow show, we went to the Boulevard Tavern. Nice place. Run by Harold. You know Harold, Mike. You know him? He's a good guy. It's a really nice place. I had never been there. I'm glad I finally went. I did not get a hot dog. You get a hot dog, this guy. Yeah, I got a hot dog. You know me. I love my hot dogs. Anybody here not talking about the topic? No, everybody wants to talk about the topic. Well, how about that? Is it possible at this point in the evening for Julie Klausner to come into the studio? Is that possible? It is? All right. Good heavens. How are you? You're going to sit there. It is exciting. Are there headphones there? Do you see a pair of headphones? There are.
Already I'm in heaven.
They smell nicer than the WFMU headphones.
It's the difference between staying at like a B&B and like a nice new boutique hotel.
Well,
a B&B with the, you know, like those sheets that are just like too thin, like too soft because they've been worn down from bodies. You know?
It's like staying at you've never stayed, and I'm going to assume in LA you've never stayed at the Best Western on Franklin.
I have stayed at the Best, yeah, above Cafe 101.
Yes,
right? Yeah, I have stayed there. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting because it's the it's.
Oh, it's just swear on the first.
No, I think. Well, that set a record.
Okay, sorry. No,
that's fine.
No, I think that record's been.
No, it has been. Look, I'm just saying a land speed record in terms of immediacy. Well, Julie Klausner, so I'm so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
I said.
Yeah.
First FP that comes in here, it's going to be you.
I'm an IFP, internet famous.
No.
IFP, always on, sometimes off.
IFP, that's my favorite channel.
Yeah,
right?
They have Bunk.
No, Bunk's not on anymore.
What? I was wondering why my DVR hadn't picked up any new Bunks.
You ever see when your thing just tells you it's like it's still taping shows? Like you look, it's like scheduled recordings, and you're like, well, you might want to unschedule that one.
Well, it's like a friend that hasn't talked to you in a long time, and they're like, hey, you still want to talk about intervention? You're like, not really. Or like,
so,
I don't know.
Yes, first of all, somebody said you're an FFP, a fully famous person, which I agree with.
That's very generous.
That 101, that.
Yeah, Best Western and Hollywood Hills Best Western.
For people who don't know, you go there, and it's a Best Western that's right by the 101 highway, which is convenient to get on if you have meetings and things. But it's not convenient if you don't want to hear traffic all night from your window.
It's a suicide hotel. Like, it's one of those things where most of the rooms have been host to suicide. It's like one of those, and specifically show business related suicides, because there's all those spirits of like the parking lot has all those horrible paintings of like James Dean, but it's just It's like a distorted version. It's like if somebody was copying a photo of James Dean, but the photo was like flat. So it just, when they were drawing it, everything's foreshortened and like, how come this isn't good? It's not coming together. It was like, well, you could tell it's him.
Yeah. And there's one of the cast of MASH out in that parking lot where, and they really? Look like, yeah, it looks like the cast of MASH if they were like the wax figures of them.
Yeah.
And then someone like
rendered those,
or if there was a fire at the wax museum and they melted a little
bit. Or like an intern left the heat on. That,
yeah.
That's like the worst Night at the Museum movie, is the one where the intern leaves the heat on in the wax museum.
Night at the Wax Museum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we need to go.
Josh Gad can be in it.
To L.A. right now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We got a deal. Night at the Wax Museum.
We got it with Josh Gad's production, Gad Co.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks.
Josh. I got a meeting with Josh loves.
Yep.
What Josh is looking to do here with this pod.
Mm-hmm. With Josh. Do you need your parking validated? And then it's like a stamp that says Gadzooks. Or a sticker. They have stickers.
A G and an exclamation point.
I haven't seen the comedians yet, but I don't know if he plays like, if his character's name is like Josh, like Glad. Or
oh no, he's oh. he. I watched it today. He is. They're both themselves on the show.
Oh no.
Yeah, they both play themselves. Okay. Billy Crystal plays himself.
I don't want to leap to a topic that you weren't ready.
No. Like, but people, this hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
I use hotel very liberally by calling the Best Western a hotel. It's filled. You go into the lobby and you see all these autographed photos where it's like, oh, there's Don Knotts, an autographed Don Knotts.
Right.
And there's an autographed photo of Renee Zellweger. And you're like, ooh, this is like a taste of Hollywood. And then you go to your room. And when you go to your room, you realize that you saw the nice stuff already where they can keep an eye on their memorabilia, and everything else is like trash. It's like, but it's hanging everywhere. You'll go into your room and there'll be like a picture of like a framed picture of Elvis. And then there'll be like with like a new guitar in the case that has his signature on. It's like, no, Elvis didn't sign a purple $89
flying V.
Yeah, Elvis signed a flying V.
I love these flying V's.
Yeah. If he lived, he'd probably just picture him with a flying V.
These are a lot of fun.
Picture Elvis in the '80s if he had lived and like gotten control of his life, got healthy.
Yeah,
and then
he'd look like Ron Sexsmith. And that's how he's like, I just walk around the reservoir. Just do that before breakfast.
Yeah, just him, like, being healthy now. Mm-hmm. Just like.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, I think he would have ended up with like a Steve Winwood kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's real exciting. I got Don Was producing my new album.
Yeah.
Somebody said Josh Gad probably has a pretty bad iPod.
Yeah, probably has like Bare Naked Ladies on it.
I would say it has like Book of Mormon on it.
Oh, you think he listens to himself?
Well, maybe like the rough tracks when he was learning it.
That's even worse.
Just like piano versions.
Oh, like a karaoke version, so he could like walk down the street and sing out loud, because everybody loves walking down 23rd Street with someone.
Yeah, and then Bare Naked Ladies would be on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like,
what was that band that did that mm-mm-mm song? It was
the Crash Test Dummies. Yeah. You'd have them on there. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, their albums.
They still make music.
Yeah, their albums are still good. The new one's good. They do the live version. So this hotel. And they had this one thing which I wish I owned. It's like the only thing I wish I owned there was a giant framed picture that had four TV Guide covers on it with the four members of Seinfeld. Like from, I guess they had like Remember when TV Guide was making their last attempt at like staying in business?
Yeah.
They'd be like, special cover, like one of five.
Right.
Collect them all.
Yeah.
What? I gotta go. I'm a fan of Star Trek, so I have to go buy six TV guides
now.
Yeah,
you got to go to the supermarket.
And you're going up with...
You like a little astrology guide and like a...
Oh, that... You know what, guy? Yeah. Do you ever have... This is one that's super humiliating, but I'll say it anyway, where... There was this magazine, Ghetto Blaster, put me on the cover of it. It was very nice. So then I went...
Looking for your...
Yeah, I went and I found it like at like Barnes & Noble, and then I was like, at Barnes & Noble's? So I went to Barnes & Noble. I bought a couple copies of the thing because I can give one to my mother. I'm going to put it in the archives. So I go and go to the counter. I'm bringing three copies of this magazine up to the thing. I'm on the cover of it. And this bum at the Barnes & Noble thing looked at the cover, looked at me, and would not give me... He would not even just say, hey, it's you. He was just, it was like, I wanted, and it's like, it's like my only moment ever to get some version of that.
Are you from serious?
The, he looked at it,
he
looked
like,
at me.
Acknowledged.
He's like, he's like.
That's the stingiest.
Yeah, that'll be 17.
Are you kidding?
No, he's like, do you have a Barnes & Noble rewards card? Like, that's what he said to me when he saw the connection. I was just like, you couldn't give it to me, could you? My one, it's not like we own every Barnes & Noble buying all of them trying to get spotted. You couldn't do it.
You should have held it up to your face.
Yeah.
And held
it's me.
Both, so you had one on the right and one on the left and you're in the middle. Yeah.
And make like it's one of those.
Remember Which one those, is real?
Remember those guys who would have that the sticks attached
to them?
Yeah,
like Jackson. We were just talking about this. The Jackson 5 guy with the puppets attached to the.
On either side. There'd be two on either side.
Yeah, so he'd be the fifth, right?
Yeah, he'd be dancing and everything in the middle. And
mm-hmm.
What's it like to see that, to come up with that? And, I mean, that's only good for 2 weeks before just another guy goes and gets some broomsticks and some stuff. And then you're just going and you see him. That's my idea. Nope. No, it's not. Yeah, well, we're all doing it now. Like, you have no claim to that. You can't. Hi, you can't.
Right.
It's hey, like, stop that.
Yeah, like you, like the guy who invented the painting didn't, you know, it wasn't like he, you know, was the only one who could do paintings.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I'm putting this.
He's like, mine are dressed up like the Rockettes.
Yeah. I'm doing Backstreet Boys. I'm not doing Jackson 5, I'm doing Backstreet Boys. But if he just has different, like, faces he puts over the thing. Just like,
so it's a blank face, and depending on the gig, he'll be like, now that we're the Temptations, or now we're the Spice Girls. Or,
yeah. He'll just be like, yeah, I got to stuff their shirts, make them the Spice Girls.
It takes all night.
Throw some dresses on these things.
Yeah, I need privacy to do that. I've got to do the changeover. And then like, yeah. One of the incarnations is just his family.
Oh,
just like just, four random, like his, you know, parents.
Yeah.
And just, like sister.
Does everyone.
People are like, who are they supposed to be? He's like my family.
Yeah, we're all getting along.
We're all in sync for once.
Yeah. We don't. And I'll do in sync later.
But wait, so you were in the. How many. When was the last time you stayed in the Best Western and. Hollywood Hills.
It's been a couple years.
They renovated it. I don't imagine it's much better, but like.
I think they renovated the outside of it. Like,
right.
What am I, Spider-Man? I'm staying on the outside. Unless I'm staying on the outside, I don't care.
So the rooms are still horrible.
How could they not be?
I don't know. What I was there, last time I was there, like, I remember the carpet, like, seemed like it was made out of recycled, like.
Flesh?
Like the floor.
Recycled flesh.
It was like the floor mats of, like, a crappy car, like a, you know,
sure.
Like a cab that you're just like, can't wait to get out of. It doesn't have seatbelts in it. Like that was the kind of, I just remember it being like, I'm going to wear shoes and socks all the time.
Here. That is the kind of place where if they knew what was good for them, they would sell flip flops at the front desk for, they would sell them for $30 a pair.
Yeah.
And they would move many flip-flops mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah.
Of people just like, yeah, I got to get some. Yeah, I can't walk bare feet on this place. It's the kind of place where you assume you go in the bathroom and you're surprised that it's like that there's not a drain in the middle of the floor. Like,
oh,
there's
for
not
blood,
one.
For blood.
No, for, yeah, well,
for your own blood.
For any bunch of reasons. Yeah. It could be just a general hosing down right, of the
oh,
whole.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Just like, we got to just power wash this whole bathroom.
We can't like lollygag. We have to like do this in one. We have to use industrial strength methods.
Yeah. When sunshine cleaners show up.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't get the ghosts. That's the thing about sunshine cleaners that I remember about that movie is they didn't get the ghosts.
They don't.
they clean the.
They, yeah.
They left the ghosts behind.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You didn't get me.
But that place is so haunted. The Best Western. It's like you open the door like a conga line of people who've killed themselves. Like knock you
during
over.
Pilot season.
Yeah, it's like that guy who was in Grizzly Man who was like supposed to be Woody on Cheers, you know?
Uh-huh.
Timothy Treadwell was like supposed to, like he had a callback to play Woody on Cheers.
Sure.
Maybe the name of the character wasn't Woody at the time. Maybe it was like Steve or something, and he was really close, and he didn't get it, so he went to the woods and like decided that bears were talking to him.
He probably shouldn't have brought a bear to the callback.
You think that's what did it?
Yeah. What if he came like?
He'd be like, I'd be more comfortable if my friend read this yeah. scene with me.
Yeah,
my friend will play Norm.
He's slashing everybody. His bear is mauling. It's climbing over the table.
But yeah, like people like that who go out there on pilot season to like, well, that place that you stayed at, oh, that horrible condo.
The
like,
Oakwood.
Isn't there a documentary about that? The complex? Is that a different place?
Oh, no, I think there is.
Yeah.
And I could not bring myself to watch that documentary. That was the most depressing place. It's long for people. These are long-term apartments for people who don't know this place. The Oakwood, it's a franchise. They're around the country. But the famous one is in L.A., where you get families who most of the time, it's either dudes who got thrown out of their house and are just like, fine, I'll live at the Oakwood till we straighten this out. Which is why I once saw the license plate there, Dr. Music.
It was like, the doctor is out.
And it was like, yeah, the doctor is out of his house. The doctor. Picture Dr. Music on his front lawn while his wife throws the stuff out the window. You don't do this to Dr. Music. Dr. Music's picking up his clothes. Fine.
Dr. Music wants to see his kids.
So there was Dr. Music.
Yeah.
But mostly it's families where it's a kid, yeah. a child actor, where they're trying to get him a show for pilot season. So the whole family moves there and stays there. It's so depressing.
Yeah.
It's like
stage mothers trying to get their kids into like a Nickelodeon show pilots. Yeah,
it's just so. What a bummer that place
like,
was.
My kid's the next Manny from Modern
Family. Yeah, the next Rico Rodriguez.
Yeah, my kid's the next Manny.
Man, that kid Manny. Those kids.
They all won the lottery. Those kids on Modern Family.
Yeah.
That's my POV.
Is
that's my 2 cents.
That would be pretty sweet to be that. Because now, to be a kid on a show, you're not like the Brady Bunch where you got ripped off. Like, you know, they didn't get any residuals.
They didn't?
No.
Oh, really?
So, like, Mike Lookinland, all he has to show for it is just, like, whatever memorabilia, whatever shirts he left with.
A story at a party.
Whatever book he could write about it. But now those kids, imagine residuals.
I can't.
That Manny's getting. Imagine those checks that show up to Rico. Check shows up. $35,000.
For like, what, one rerun?
Yeah, like for like a syndication deal.
USA.
Yeah.
They already syndicated.
Yeah. I want some of that. Hey, Mike. Mike, I got to get some. Just write this down. This is a sidebar. I got to get some of that Rico Rodriguez money. Okay? Do you know who he is, Mike? He's Manny on Modern Family. He's Sofia Vergara's son. You do know who he is. You ever watch Modern Family? No? Okay, you've seen photos of it. Commercials. Oh. Mike said he's the pudgy kid. Yeah, that's him. And the crack of the third time's the charm. The crack of the beer. How are we doing? Do I have to get more Coors Light? We're good? We're not running low? So, yeah. So the Oakwood is like the... If the Best Western is just like a place you stay for a quick, depressing weekend, that Oakwood is where you stay for like a depressing 2 months.
Right. Like Best Western, you're just like, no, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I just need one night. You get one night downstairs where the Lauren Bacall headshot is. And then you go upstairs and you're just like, I'm going to do it. Whereas the Oakwood, you're just like, maybe I'll do it slowly. Like, I'll decide tomorrow. I'll bring pills with me. Like, you'd use pills, meaning, like, you're not really going to do it.
Sure. But in the meantime, I'm just going to sit here.
By the pool.
I'm going to go sit by the pool and watch, go back in and watch TV on the.
Yeah.
On the not flat screen TV.
The Chew.
I'm going to watch The Chew. I think I saw the guy from The Chew on Melrose the other day. It's like.
Dr. Music.
Yeah. It's Dr. Muse. Hey, like sitting out by the pool, just drinking beer. You know who I am, don't you? I'm Dr. Music. Now I'm living at this dump.
What was the car?
What kind of car? Nice car. Was it,
really?
Nice car. Dr. Music.
You never saw him? You never, like,
oh, no. I should have. I should have stayed. I should have just sat on his car until he came out.
What if it were, like, Quincy Jones? Or Clive Davis, or like,
and this is where they
have led, or maybe he was, I don't know, if it was Clive Davis, he could have been there for like a rendezvous, or
it could have, could be, meet me at the Oakwood.
It's like, here's my key to the Oakwood.
Imagine somebody getting ready to have a little fling with Clive Davis, and then they enter the address into their GPS, and they pull up, and they're suddenly at the gate of the Oakwood.
And then they turn around, seamlessly. Like, they sort of slow down.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, a three-point U-turn. It's, like, just, a really wide U-turn. Yeah,
I can't do this. Nope. I don't care. I'll go back to the town I'm from. Rather than have...
They do one of those big U-turns, and then they just keep driving until they go back to their hometown.
They just keep in the rental car.
Yeah.
And then they just dump the rental car in their hometown. You guys track it down. Now, tonight, Julie Klausner, you at julieklausner.com. At Julie Klausner on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, throughout the show, the idea of stupid...
Dumb achievements.
Achievements, yeah. The idea of the thing that you can do or you've accomplished that has no traction anywhere, but you're proud of it, or maybe you're a little proud of it, but you know it just like, yeah, everyone else will just laugh at me. So we'll do that throughout the show. Now, you have been busy.
Mm. Oh, I was I thought you were going to ask me what my dumb achievement was.
Well, we'll get there.
Sorry.
You've been busy.
Yeah. Been busy with Gadzooks.
With Pitt, you have a Gadzooks joint coming up.
It's like development assistant at Gadzooks.
So you...
No, I'm a D-girl, yeah.
You read scripts.
I read scripts, and I mostly like...
Well, they're
really
called G-girls.
I really enjoy, like, they are, because they're Gad...
Yeah.
Gad-girls.
Yeah. Gadvelopment. And he'll just sign you for like a Gadvelopment deal, and you'll get a goption, a goption on everything. He just keeps, it's like, Josh, you gotta you're just confusing people with this at this point.
But no, if it's a thing, it's a, we can call it a gobtion, because it's gad options, gobtions. Josh.
Josh, they're asking us to leave the lot now. We need to... the 1600 pen deal. That... And it's just, like, set up in the back. It, like, he's running this thing. Josh Gad's running it.
Yeah.
And it's just, like... But it's in the back of, like, a karate studio.
He has the Better Call Saul, like, of production companies.
Yeah. Gadzook Productions.
No, he's like, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. How may I direct your call? And you never know when you go... Like, how come every voice... message thing has recently changed its system. You ever gets like, please listen to all the options. We've recently updated our system. Mm-hmm. Like every system has been updated apparently. Not just like, yeah, it's been the same for 2 years. Just press the thing you know to get the shortcut. But yeah, Gadzooks Productions. I like this script, but... I think you're going to need to gadify it. I like how I'm just this guy who I have no... 6 months from now, I'll be in a thing with him, hoping that this show... He never heard this show.
I don't think he has.
I'll be in a thing with... be better than being in a thing with Billy Crystal, worrying about that.
Billy Crystal has heard this show. I feel like he...
What would his production company be called?
What was that band you were talking about before? What was that? What genre was it? What was that band? What kind of band is it? It's like, Oi.
Oi, yeah.
He'd be like, Oi Vey.
What if he made a movie?
Yeah.
Billy Crystal's movie was about
baseball.
It was, but it would be a. He already did do a baseball movie.
It's about an Oi band.
Yeah, it's about him.
Like a Jewish.
And it's called Oi Vey.
Uh-huh.
He becomes the manager of an Oi band.
I think that's a great idea.
We could actually go into Crystal Ship and pitch
idea.
That.
What's Crystal Ship?
His production company.
I thought it was like a Doors-themed restaurant or something. Soul Kitchen.
That's their... Yeah, if you're opening a Doors-themed restaurant, you have options.
Right,
if you're going to do a seafood place, it would be called the Crystal Ship.
Yeah.
But if it's like kind of trendy, you'd call it Soul Kitchen.
Right. Yeah. And it was finger food. It would be, come on, touch me, babe. That's what that song's called, right?
Come on, and touch me, babe.
Yeah.
All in parentheses. All of that.
The whole thing is in parentheses.
Says, come on, 8 times in parentheses.
That's why it didn't chart.
That song. I've talked about this before where it's just like, it's 1967, 68, you're a Doors fan, and you're just like, Jim is the most outrageous dude going. And then you're like, did you hear about the new Doors record? It's called Touch Me. You're like, this is going to be his most outrageous one to date. Like, he's pushing it further than he's ever pushed it before. He got arrested down in Florida for indecent exposure, now he calls his record Touch Me. This is like, and then the kid brings the 45 home and puts it on. And then it's like, this is like a Tom Jones record. What happened? It's not the Doors. Sax solo. Like, wait, why is Jim Morrison singing like a third rate Tom Jones song?
Like Delilah. Like they were like, you can either have Delilah or Touch Me.
Yeah.
And Jim Morrison's like,
like, Touch Me. And he was probably saying it like, Touch Me. And then they thought that was him making the choice.
The decision. And then he was like, I don't need Delilah. Delilah.
I wanted Delilah. Where's Delilah? Jim, you picked Touch Me. What?
He his kind of vomiting wasn't like 60s, like rock, like booze and party vomiting. It was like always food. It was always like, oh, why did I eat that sandwich? Like, because usually you think of like, oh, like with all due respect, like the puke that like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, that wasn't from like a meatball sandwich.
No, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
but
was
Jim
from
Moore...
being Jimi Hendrix. And, like, Jim Morrison, like, whenever he threw up, it was, like, because he had something disgusting to eat, I think.
Yeah, like, he just ate it, like...
Yeah.
Cantors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, on top of whatever he was doing, yeah. drugs and alcohol-wise, like, he had also just, like ordered, like, a... he's just like... Can I get, does this come grilled or fried? And it's like, and he's like, and I get two sides?
I want the baked beans.
I'll have the corn and, yeah. It's like he yeah. starts with the corn.
Jim Morrison probably invented acid reflux.
He never did acid. Yes, yeah. That's the kind of acid.
That's the acid he...
He enjoyed most.
He
experienced the most. He did a lot of acid, but he mostly just had acid reflux. The most, he was like, you know what drug I would really like? Zantac. I love doing drugs. But given.
But I sure wish.
That they had, you know, Prilosec.
GERD. Yeah. I'm gonna love you. To like... Mm-hmm. That song.
Yeah, it is Tom Jonesy.
Yeah. Till the heavens stop the rain. That's a good karaoke song, right? Wouldn't that be a good...
Yeah, that's like, when you sing it as a bridge, it's almost like a bit like Boyce and Hardy. Like, it's almost kind of like a Monkees kind of bridge.
It's got a nice section, but then the main part of it is just dumb.
Dun, 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 dun.
Come on, come on, come on. Touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What? That's the dumbest.
The horns are totally Tom Jones.
Yeah. What was that promise that you made? Those lyrics. Touch me. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what he said? Why won't you tell me what he said?
Who is he in this equation?
It's what was that promise that you made?
But seriously, like, who's he? Like, who's the third party? Like, is that her dad?
What?
He said, like, tell me what he said. Like, he's going to be picking me up at 11.
Yeah.
So I better make good on this, like, insinuation.
That creep from the doors is coming by. What was that promise that you made? Now it's just like, now it's like. It's
he's
pretty
like
now.
Sweet pot. He's like, now I'm going to seduce you again. Yeah, you're going to remind you why you agreed to do this in the first place. I'm going to give you
I'm going to love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm going to love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I.
Doing that lovely, like, kind of part, I'm picturing him with, like, one of those old maple syrups kind of tiders, where when you press on it, the little slot goes up. And I'm picturing him just, like, lovingly pouring it on this big stack of pancakes at, like, Mel's Diner or something on Sunset.
Ben Franks.
Ben Franks. Right, exactly.
So he'd be pouring, he'd be like, oh, singing to the, he's singing to this giant stack of buttermilk pancakes.
I'm gonna eat you.
So he starts with the parody first, and then they're like, Jim, let's take that song you did about food, but make it about love now.
He goes, my Jim Morrison impression.
Don't 5-2-1, baby. 1-5. Just picture him,
him
just
eating breakfast food.
Just breakfast food. They probably started the 24-hour breakfast menu for him.
Because he wouldn't leave.
Yeah. Fine. We'll make pancakes for you at 4 PM. And then they're just like, well, if we do it for him, we gotta do it for everybody. Like, he invented 24 breakfast
was,
all day.
Right, just because arguing with him was way
more
of a pain than just letting him stay and this keep eating breakfast food.
Just make him breakfast. Just scrape the grill and put...
Scrape the grill?
Go get the batter from the thing.
From the truck. Go get the truck batter and Just make Mr. Morrison another stack of pancakes.
So he can just, he can hopefully just either pass out or...
Or order more.
Or order more. Yeah. Ben Franks.
Yeah.
That was the place that the monkeys,
Ben Frank types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you'd just be like, because it's on Sunset, and it's just like, it was a cool hangout that they, when they ran the classified ad looking, trying to get kids to audition for the monkeys, it said, we're looking for Ben Franks types.
That was like, wink, wink, like, you guys, you know, smoke weed.
I think so. Yeah. It was just like, you're cool, and you smoke a little bit of weed,
mm-hmm.
and then you come in, and you audition, and then... that's how they got, Davy Jones was already locked in.
Yeah, he had a studio deal.
But they got...
That was Mickey.
I think they got, yeah, that's how they got George Michael Dolenz, right?
From Ben Frank?
No, I mean, he was already...
He was already in there.
He was set up, but they got Mike Nesmith and Peter Tork from the...
Tork, I thought, was because Stephen Stills auditioned... And told him later, like, this is a good gig. They're looking for somebody who's good looking, I guess.
Yeah. Just play. It's like you're stupid. You play. He comes in. It's like, I play 15 instruments.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to be stupid on this thing.
You're going to be a big stupid lump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you play a lot of instruments? Well, I hope you can play a lot. Hope you know how to play a dummy because you're going to be stupid on this show. And he rolled with it. That's why in Head, he blows it up and says,
I'm always the dummy.
He says to Davey, I'm always the dummy. Quiet, isn't it?
George
Michael
Dolan. This just became a show for like you, me, and Rachel Lichten.
I know, right now. We're cleaning house.
Oh, boy.
The movie Head. How is it that that soundtrack is not, like, recognized for all of the sound collage stuff on it as, like, pioneering?
Quentin Tarantino invented the dialogue going into the song.
Yeah, but if you listen to that soundtrack, not only do they have sound clips from the thing, but they're, like, mashing them, they're cutting them so tight, it just, there's no break in anything. I love that soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, it's really... Look, this is the thing that got me to go up to that guy in the first place. Mickey Dolenz.
I know.
This love of it now.
Of the movie in particular.
Is what got me to get thrown back at me when he did that. I love the...
Screaming laughing.
Let's take some calls here. People who want to talk about their stupid achievements. We're here with Julie Klausner, and we're going to talk all about what she's been up to, all kinds of stuff. Guys, this is going to be the year of Julie Klausner, and I'm not JK, just kidding. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom and Julie, it's Dan and Carney. How are you doing?
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing well. I have a stupid achievement for you, Tom.
Let's hear it. And I knew this guy. This is the guy who, you've helped a lot with things. You've helped with a lot of stats on the show. You helped put together how many episodes we had done on The Best Show.
That's true.
When we were trying to figure out when the 500th episode happened. And you were the guy who figured out the best version of that.
Yeah, the one with Bad Guy Zero, of course.
You and Bad, yes. Who was here last week.
Yep, an excellent person.
So, but, Dan, I want to hear about your stupid achievement. What is the thing that you are proud of that you've achieved or accomplished, but it means nothing to anybody else?
Oh, I think this is a singular achievement. I don't think anyone else probably can claim something like this. I was playing poker, and there was a new dealer, and she had red hair, and the guy across the table... I guess, I don't know if he was being sleazy or something. He goes, wow, what nationality are you? I bet I can guess. And he guessed, like, Czechoslovakian, which isn't even a nationality. And she laughed in this way, like, you're never, ever going to guess what my nationality is. And I turn to her, and I say, and I look for a second, I go, are you Basque? And she was half Basque, which is like the northern region, the separatist region of Spain.
So you proudly proved that you know how to isolate people by their geographical, and identify them. I'm not saying you're isolated. It makes it sound like you're doing something sinister.
But I don't know. I think it was just wanted to guess. You know, people guess things. I wanted to guess. And
so you said, are you half Basque?
No, not half. She was half Basque, but no, I asked if she was Basque, she was from that region of Spain. Okay. I have no idea what brought that nationality to mind when they're not even, like they're fighting for independence. They're not even a full-fledged country in the sense of being in the UN or anything.
Okay. Yeah, this one, you're on the money, my friend. Only All you right. can identify people from the Basque region. Proudly, you proudly identified her. You realize there is a sinister quality that's going, are you Basque? Makes it sound like you're rounding people up, questioning them, asking them for their papers.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Now, but you are a hockey fan. You're a hockey fan, right?
Say again?
You're a hockey fan.
Oh, yes, I am.
What's up with, I don't know anything that's going on with hockey right now. What's up with your hockey team? The New Jersey Devils.
Oh, it's very exciting. Saturday night's very exciting for the Devils.
Why is that?
Because that's the NHL draft lottery.
It's the what?
The NHL has its draft lottery on Saturday night.
Oh, so they stunk this year.
Yes, they stunk this year.
So you're gonna get a high draft pick.
Yep.
And you hope to get
either
some.
First, sixth or seventh. If it's first, it's a guy who's like a once in a generation prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, it's a total crapshoot.
All right. Well, we will find out. Best of luck to you and all the New Jersey Devils fans.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Best show. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Katie from Houston.
Katie from Houston. What's going on tonight, Katie?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having Julie on the show.
Oh, why thank you.
Is she still there or no?
Hi, thank you.
She is here.
Oh, hello.
Thank you.
Yay. You're a fan of Julie? Well, who's not, first of all? That's like saying, do you have two hands, right?
Right. Well, I guess those people on the Twitter... That Twitter website, not fans of hers. That, what's it called?
What? What are you talking about? They're not
on her show the other week. There were these people. There's a website on Twitter that they attacked the people.
Right. The twitchy idiots, the conservative people. Yes. Those people are
okay. Well, yeah, you got into it.
Yeah, I got into it with the conservative people.
Because you were going after Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I think you were right on that.
Yeah, he's.
By the way,
I'm so glad he's dead.
And this is because your show.
Yeah.
How was your week? Is that the theme? How was your week?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, for the frog.
The frog. It's what's his the frog's name
Geronimus
again?
Geronimus Frog.
Geronimus Frog.
No.
No, his name is. Madison Frog. That's the most depressing car. Have you ever seen that cartoon that he's from?
I love that cartoon. That cartoon makes me laugh out loud.
The one when there's like, hey, you got to hear the frog.
On Froggy Morning?
Where the frog won't sing?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It just depresses me because I feel like that's
you?
The story of my life.
Oh, I understand. The frog won't sing when you're trying to prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like me and AP Mike.
Who's the frog?
I don't know. No, just be like, then Mike will do something, and I'll be like, no, you got to realize.
Oh, I understand. Okay, got it. Yep. That he's like a real, he's a real.
You ever see that cartoon, Mike? Michigan J. Frog.
You've seen it, Mike.
It's the one where he tries to get the frog to sing. The frog, he's all alone with the frog, and the frog's singing up and dancing, and then he tries to take the frog somewhere, and then the frog just sits there and goes, rah, 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 rah.
Like Jim Morrison, like 4:15.
Then the frog's like on Disco Strangler by the Eagles. What up? What up?
Wait,
Jason,
he'll be right back. He's not going anywhere.
I don't know. He just came in and left, and I felt bad.
No, Jason's here. Dudio is here. Again, that nickname. He came up with that.
I think it's good.
He insists we call him that. Now, what was your name again, caller?
Katie.
In Houston.
Yes.
How's everything in Houston tonight?
Pretty good. I've been on hold for a while, and the show's playing in the other room. My boyfriend's listening to it, so all I could hear was just Julie laughing for a while. So
okay.
I haven't heard it yet, but I'm excited to hear it tomorrow. While I was on hold, I had time to think about the topic,
mm-hmm.
my story, and the longer I thought about it, the dumber it seemed. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so my secret stupid achievement is I was on the elevator with a celebrity, and I was able to contain myself and not stare or say anything. I just acted cool. And
Wait, say this again? I'm so sorry.
I was on an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
The celebrity lived in the same building as my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything.
And you couldn't say, but you won't. Did you? You who is the celebrity?
It was Jaleel White.
Jaleel White?
Yeah.
That's, what's his face, right? That's Urkel.
Yes.
He hates that Urkel stuff. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have said anything anyways, but it's like, what do you say? Because it was, like, real sad.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem very happy.
He cries into his money.
About.
Like, elevator, but if people can look. I think elevators are not a good place to judge where people are at. Sometimes you kind of just, you just don't want to draw any attention to yourself. Or you don't, you know, like, I
like if you're like Patti Smith or something.
I always worry that on elevators, I can't handle that small talk on elevators, which apparently I have no problem making it to other people when I see fit to do it. But on the whole, if somebody's just like, and they're just like, and you're just like, that's what it sounds like. It's like, and you're just like, you're like, uh-huh. Yeah, it is. Oh, who knows? I know.
I hate everything about elevators, claustrophobic, but that thing, I think Julie might understand this, where it's like women, like the men let the women off first.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the doors open, it's just like awkward moment where you're like, even though I'm behind people, it's like they still have to let me off first for some reason.
Sure.
I like that.
You know what
Yeah, when they're gentlemen, they do. Lamer than like a guy that's like behind you, like charging past you. Mm-hmm. He has something to do.
I like when people step off and they step out of the elevator when they're not done with the elevator to make room. There's still a part of me that wishes that to see like the door shut on them for their kindness. Like, sorry, life sucks, man. Like the door would shut. That's what you get for being a gentleman.
Right, or that thing whenever there's a whole bunch of people waiting to get on the elevator, and they get on, and there's enough room for me, but I don't. It's too crowded, so I do that thing. It's like I pretend like I forgot something,
because
I don't want to offend them by not getting on the elevator.
Oh, so wait, so you lie in situations, you make up stories, so that that is the number one thing I cannot get past is attaching motive to public choices, where I'll be like, I just got to go talk to, my brother's in the car. I don't even have a brother. Be like, yeah, my brother's in the car, and I just got to ask him which sandwich he wants me to order. Like,
I have to get out of this place.
Yeah, like if I go, like there was a time about a year ago, I went into this pizzeria that looked nice, Like, oh, that place looks nice. And I went in, and you go in, and it's like a dump inside. I'm like, I'm not eating anything from this place. But then it's like the guy jumped on me. He was like, what can I get you? Like, right away, like, and I'm just like.
You're like, my brother, he's older, but he's always been younger. And
I got to find, my brother wanted to find out about what kind of pizza you have. And I'm just going to go, he's in the car.
He
and I'm
I have a funny relationship. It's like, we don't have a twin language, but we do. And
yeah, I'm going to go, if I'll see what he wants in the car, and I'll be right back. And then the guy sees me get in a car and drive off.
Alone.
Yeah, alone in a car. Like, and it's just like, I'm doing it to not say, yeah, I got to say, your pizzeria looks super nice from outside, but it's really disgusting in here.
Yeah.
I don't trust the food. I would never eat any of this stuff. There's a pizzeria every three blocks in New Jersey. I'm going to go pick another one if you don't mind. Shape up. Right? Sink a little infrastructure. Put a little money into infrastructure here. That lettering still, the single, like where he's looking through a box for like, I need an R to clip on the board.
Oh.
Like bowling alley lettering.
Oh, really?
Like bowling alley.
Like fries, $1.
Yes, exactly. We got to raise the price on calzones.
It's like, we don't have an S, so let's use this 5.
Yes, or then you just see a piece of paper taped on it.
Oh, that's the worst.
Katie?
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Yes.
Okay.
So just before the show, my boyfriend asked if I've heard of this Hansen versus Predator.
Hansen versus Predator.
Yeah.
What is Hansen versus Predator?
It's Chris. I'm not making this up. I don't think I looked at it online. It looks legitimate. It's Chris Hansen's Kickstarter to bring to catch a predator back.
So Chris Hansen now he's going to do to catch a predator as what, a web series now?
Going
to be webisodes.
I don't know. Well, he needed money, so I'm sure none of the networks probably wanted it. So I don't know.
Do you know?
I mean, whatever it is, I'm going to watch it. But
were you a big To Catch a Predator fan?
Yeah.
Look, I've always felt.
I think everybody likes that show.
Everybody liked it, and then there's a point where you're like, yeah, I don't ever need to see this again. Julie, big
Predator.
Yeah.
Predhead.
Yeah, the big Pred head. So, yeah, the Grateful Pred. It's a band of Predators form a Grateful Dead cover band.
Predator fans or Predators?
What if they were fans of the movie Predator and Predators?
Maybe Pred heads.
I thought we were fans of the movie Predator. Wait, you guys are Predators? Oh, no. And isn't there like a hockey team? It's like the something like the Nashville Predators.
That's weird.
Yeah, ooh. Like that show must have made it like, dear NBC, I own a hockey team called the Predators. Recently, you started a TV show called To Catch a Predator, identifying predators as sex offenders. Is there any chance you might consider changing the name of your show?
One of us has to change the name of something.
No one is coming to our games anymore. The only people coming to our games are predators now. The fans of, yeah, go Predators. So, I always wanted to see him to catch a predator. Look, I want all these predators caught. All of them, 100%. I would love to see just once, though, because it's like so stacked against the predator. It's like so stacked against them, where they're just like, guy comes in carrying a grocery bag filled with booze. I thought I'd picked up some
libations.
I got some Zima. I thought you wanted Zima. Like, I got some Zima from the vintage booze place, from the collectible.
The 90s.
The out-of-print alcohol place.
Crystal Pepsi.
And I got some Crystal Pepsi.
The vintage beverage.
And it's so stacked against them. And then just once when those guys go out on the lawn and they get tackled, like there's just, there's like eight cops waiting for them. Just once, guy runs out on the lawn and then just
keeps
rips,
running.
Or he just, or he gets away from them just even for just like 10 minutes, gives them good, good
chase.
Yeah. Good chase. Or he has like a jet pack on. And just goes out, so long, suckers. Just like shoots through the air, and then these cops are like looking up, watching the guy fly away.
Yeah, and he goes, you can't catch him all.
Yeah, and then Chris Hansen, I guess he'd put on a jetpack too, and it'd be like an in-air fight.
What's that James Bond movie where he has a jetpack like right away?
What is that? Yeah. Well, so there's a
Connery, right?
We have a 700-page James Bond book out
I
there.
I was
we can,
looking through it. That's why it's
a nice
fresh
book.
In my mind. It's beautiful.
If only that book had a picture of the jetpack. What if the book is like this 700-page James Bond book? Yeah, we didn't put the jetpack in it. Now, Katie.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye. To Catch a Predator.
It's like an oddly literate name for what it is, like To Kill a Mockingbird or...
Yeah, To Catch a Predator. As if as if Chris Hansen's like doing a soliloquy. To Catch a Predator.
Perchance to Dream. Perchance to Dream, a predator.
And he's...
In one's kitchen.
As he's working with... What was the name of the company again? It was like Perv, like...
No, Pervco?
No, Perv. Well, there's a the company that they utilized where they'd be like...
I don't know this.
Yeah, this 34-year-old woman can do a voice of a 14-year-old on the phone or whatever, like when they would call.
Right.
Like the company was like Perverts Unlimited
no,
or something.
No, it was not. Really? It wasn't some, just like CAA has a division.
Some... yeah. Chris Hansen signs with WME.
Perv Department.
With Perv, yeah. He represents the literary Perv Department at CAA. Chris Hansen, his new book. To, what if it's like his album? Like, to sing a predator. Perverted Justice is the name
no,
of the book.
No,
yes,
really?
That's exactly it. Somebody... Like, that was the name of the organization that partnered with Chris Hansen. Perverted Justice.
You'd think they would have, like, stayed on the Predator theme, but they were just like, no, and people would be confused. We should really, like, make sure people know what we're doing. And
Perverted Justice.
Put the word pervert in it.
And then somebody, it was Perverted Justice, Tom. Okay, I got it. So, Julie Klausner, you've been so busy. Working on your upcoming super event for 2015, which is a television show.
Yeah.
Called Difficult People.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Hulu.
Hulu.
Yes. And it is a scripted show. This is not, this is not.
No reality.
No.
This is not, it's not pranks. No pranks.
No, it's not you.
Prankless.
It's prank-free, the show.
Yeah, not like Boiling Points.
Which one's Boiling? Is it
the one
in the...
one where they all wore those, like, big black glasses.
And they try to, like, set people off?
Yeah, like, and, yeah, like, they had to, like, get past a certain number before, like, they'd lose it.
Could you imagine...
Yeah. Someone with big glasses is, like, tormenting you in a like, supermarket.
You're trying to just... I just want to check out.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I just... No, you're on our show. Okay, well, can I leave now?
Yeah.
Can I, like, somebody else. Hey, Tom, Perverted Justice. So this is the thing. Oh, it's Studio said that.
Uh-oh.
Weisenheimer. So that was the show. It was an MTV prank show.
Yeah.
Where you're just like.
Yeah.
I'm in a restaurant.
Right.
And I'm just trying to get through a thing and
someone's like trying to piss you off.
Yeah. And to see how long before you lose it.
Right.
What a...
I know. It's ill-intentioned.
So this is nothing like that.
I mean, no, it is nothing like that.
Well, it's 80% like
it's
that.
It's a lot
but,
like that.
So this show, Difficult People, it's you.
Yeah, yeah.
And Billy Eichner.
Yes.
It's scripted. And the two of you.
Yeah.
Are pals.
We play versions of ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm my character's name is Julie Kessler, and okay. His is Billy Epstein.
Okay.
Do you like those?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is.
That's why, because you had talked about doing that.
Yeah, because it's important. Like, at first I was averse to it, and then I'm like, no, this makes sense that you need to make that. But because I'm, like, not an actor. Like, I very much am, I'm playing myself.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Sure.
But it just has to be different. You have to make that. You have to make that designation and that divide at a certain point mentally.
Because well, then you end up with...
Chelsea, after lately.
You end up with, okay, after lately? Or I was even going to say the...
Which?
The thing I just watched today. Boiling? The comedians.
Oh, the comedians. Right, right, right. So they play themselves only what?
Like, there's that thing where it's like... Billy Crystal's playing a jerky version of himself. And then it's like, but what that implies is that he's not a jerk. But it implies in real life, I'm not a jerk.
Oh.
Because I'm playing a jerky version of myself. But it's like, no, I think you're a jerk in real life.
It's like not a bit, in other words.
It doesn't.
Like the way like Seinfeld always does a bit that he's like the worst person alive.
Yeah.
It's like at a certain point, it's not a bit.
Yeah. I feel like on this thing, there's almost not that he's winking, but it's just so.
It's like, this isn't the Billy Crystal we all love.
He's not cool enough to be in on a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's like him, and he's just like he's being rude and...
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Just so it's like, I'm sure Billy Crystal's not that rude in real life. Like, no, he's probably more rude than this, but in a less interesting way, in just a actual mean way.
So Josh Gad's career is like... Like, he's Josh Gad having the career he had. Like, are there jokes about how he plays Olaf and Frozen and stuff? Or
I know that there will be jokes about it, but there's jokes about their respective...
That's chutzpah, I may, to, like, have Josh Gad's career be, like, a centerpiece of a thing. They're like, you should know already who I am and what I'm doing. Like, for Billy Crystal, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal wants to do Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, he's earned it to some extent. He's been around for a long time. Yeah. And... You know, by all means, do your version of that. Let's see what it is. But Josh Gad being like, no, I'm going to play Josh Gad. People know, like, my arc. It's like, what are you doing? Still, I don't know.
You're really I feel my chances of pitching to Gadzooks are going away
I didn't
now.
I expect to be so Gad-centric.
Got a general with Gadzooks.
He calls himself the Gadfather. That's his title at the... Production company's like, well, are you CEO too? Like, no.
I'm the Gadfather.
I'm the Gadfather.
Oh boy. Gad.
E-Gads.
E-Gads.
Gad.
That's his e-cig that he markets.
Like sent from my iPhone, you mean? E-cig? Like a signature on your email, or is that something different? What's an e-cig?
It's like the...
Oh, like the thing that you vape?
Yeah. Like his
e-Gad?
Yeah. That's his e-Gad.
That's pretty cool.
It's a Josh Gad based. Yeah, you're going to vape. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's Joshua.
Joshua?
Yeah, from Seattle.
How are you, Joshua?
Feeling good. How about you?
I'm all right. You're here with me and Julie Klausner.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Joshua.
Big fan of yours.
Thank you.
So I wanted to call and talk to you about the new Ringo Starr Skechers campaign. Have you heard about this?
Skechers? The sneakers?
Yeah, you know, it's the S.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So I actually watched the commercial today on ESPN, and it's actually, the video is very lackluster, but there's also if you go on YouTube and search for the Skechers Ringo Starr, that goes in detail an interview with him and why he chose to do a Skechers endorsement.
That sounds like the least interesting thing ever. Ringo, why'd you do this? For money. And I can answer it for him right now. Money. That's why he did it. Money. This guy hung up. He didn't like it.
He was depressed about it.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Mike in Minneapolis.
Mike in Minneapolis. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I'm calling in with a topic, I guess, statement.
Your stupid achievements. What's your stupid achievement?
Yes. Mine is when I was 16, which is about 5 years ago, I, for 2 weeks, was sixth best in the entire world at Guitar Hero 3.
So there was a window. For how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. You were ranked number six in the country or the planet?
The planet.
On Guitar Hero 3.
Specifically that one.
And what was your go-to song, the one that just you'd blow them away?
Okay, I never remember it. It's called Cliffs of Dover was the one that I would always go to. I forgot who that's by.
Cliffs of Dover?
Yeah, they pulled out like a weird like solo guitarist for like one of the hard songs. Eric Johnson, that was it.
I don't know what that is. So when what happened? You somebody else bumped you off the list? Did you see yourself going down? I'm seventh.
I kind of like realized like that was kind of a wake up call of like I'm committing way too much time to this. I should be doing other things, and it took about 3 years to like wean myself off the game.
Okay,
but that was kind of the peak of being like, oh, like what else can I do? I should stop.
Yeah, that's usually a good place to catch yourself and be like, maybe I'm giving a little too much to this Guitar Hero thing.
Yeah, no, it was an achievement and a wake up call.
Good, you got past it. I'm glad. I'm glad for you.
I'm 3 years sober, I would say.
From Guitar Hero,
GHA, Anonymous.
Well done, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
Who is this?
This is Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. I am Alice, and I am actually calling you from the Oakwoods.
You're calling from the Oakwood
From the Oakwoods right now.
The one on Barham?
Yes, on Barham Boulevard.
Oh, my
in the
God.
Hill with the tube. Yes. The home of Dr. Music.
Why are you there? What brought you to Oakwood?
I am. It's part of a school program. This is essentially where the dorms are for this semester because I study. I'm studying to work in cartoons, so I do editing and TV junk.
And so you're going up the street to Burbank? Is that what you're doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're putting you up. You're a grad student there?
I'm still a college student.
And they put you up in the Oakwood?
Yeah, they put everyone up in the Oakwood.
How many of you?
Believe it. There's like.
How many of you are still alive?
About 60.
What's that?
60 or so.
60!
And the worst part is that so many of them like it. They think it's great. I can't understand why. It's horrifying.
This is what happened to me the first time I had to go to the Oakwood, and the only time I went to the Oakwood was we had just started working on the show Monk, which apparently now is based on Saturday Night Live this past week, is
a
complete punchline.
Yeah.
So it's neither here nor there. But got in to L.A. They put me up the Oakwood. I had a car. Oh, look, this is so fancy. A car is picking me up from the airport and taking me to this
hell.
Place I'm
taking
staying
you to
at.
Hell.
Yeah, taking me to hell, basically.
A suicide farm.
So it farm.
Stop dropping you off through the good grove of suicides.
So I get there at night. I check in. No, I get the key to the thing. There's no checking in because it's just an apartment. And this was like a shared apartment for the writers on the show. Previous guy left the place not in great shape. I go in, and I am just like, this place is disgusting. And I'm like, well, let me go get my rental car, and I'm going to go get something to eat. And then the gate was locked, and they didn't have my key to the office is locked. Your key's in there. I'm like, well, what am I going to eat? I ended up walking like a mile to a Subway.
Carl's Jr.
I had to go to a Subway, and I was eating at the Subway. And then I ended up sleeping on the couch in there, wrapped in my jacket, because I was like, I don't trust anything in this place. That's the Oakwood for me.
Here, what gets me here is, and I can, my stupid achievement is related to the Oakwoods, which is that there is like a roving gang of 11-year-olds, and they think I'm cool.
That is, that's pretty high on the list, or low on the list.
I don't know. It happened where I just kind of set stuff up. I'm in my 20s. I look like I'm 16. And I hear these kids in front of the soda machine talking about how they can hack it to get extra soda. And it's very pertinent to my interests. So I ask them about it. And we start talking. And the thing about these child actor kids is I can't tell which ones actually want to do this and which ones have just been told they want to do this. It's weird. But
you mean getting pressured into it?
Yeah.
Into hacking a soda machine?
Oh, the soda machine, no, that's all them. I mean, being here.
Oh, being an act, just being there overall.
Yeah.
The whole experience.
No. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
that
soda
must
machine,
be.
Yeah. I've met the parents and everything, too. It is very strange. Every time the kid talks about how, oh, I want to be a doctor, or like, oh, I want to travel the world, I'm like, go do that. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this, you know? But so they teach me how to hack the soda machine, and they look at my sketchbook, and I talk to them. And then it was like I was in elementary school or something. There's like a group of them. They just go, we're going to A-Lot. You want to come? And I'm just like, okay. So we're walking up to A-Lot, and A-Lot is the coolest lot because it's at the top of the Oakwoods near the graffiti wall, which is not that great. And one of them, I figure I'm just going to say, you know, I'm like in my 20s, right? And this, one of them just looks at me, and she just goes, you're not going to molest us, right? And I go, no. Okay. And they show me this graffiti wall. And since then, I have run into them, and they have helped me with menial tasks. It is very strange.
What? How long are you there for? How much longer?
I am only here till the rest of the month, and I've been here since February.
Oh.
It's horrible.
It is horrible. I'm sorry.
Do you think Dr. Music still lives here?
Absolutely not.
His spirit is still there. If he's not there currently, his ghost. Like his,
yeah.
That's what like Julie said. The ghost of Dr. Music is by the pool.
God, everyone's out by the pool. People, other college students bring their laptops to the pool, and I think it's a pool. Don't bring your laptop out there. Come on.
Dr. Music is like, I produced the cutting crew. I died in your arms tonight. I signed those guys.
The kids also is they like it. They think it's a college campus. This is not a college campus. I've heard one kid apparently has been here for 6 years. I can't believe it.
Well, look, if these kids want to see what a college campus looks like, they should just go to Brooklyn, which is the world's largest college campus, right?
Yeah, I can vouch for that. My sister lives there.
It's a giant college campus, which is good if you're in. If you're looking for that, it's like a nonstop party. I don't have that in me anymore. Maybe I never had it in me. I don't know. Well, look, you be safe, Alice.
All right. I do have one more question, though.
Sure. What's that?
If the Predator had a jetpack, why didn't he go to the house with the jetpack? Why did he leave with it?
These Predators have to know the odds of Chris Hansen. There's a possibility Chris Hansen will be there. Right?
All right. But is it hidden under his jacket? Like, really, you know, is it a big thing?
No, it's not that big. It's hidden. I think that's the,
Yeah.
It's a hidden jetpack.
They go on about the technology to catch the pedophiles, but they seem to have really good technology themselves.
There's probably a point where these Predators are like, look, Hansen and Perverted Justice, we gotta step up our game here.
Yeah.
Right, Predators? And they have that meeting at a Nashville Predators hockey game. Right?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to sum that up. Thanks.
At Center Ice. They have
all
a meeting.
Right. Thanks for chatting.
Well, you have a great night. Bye. Oh.
Oakwood.
Unbelievable.
So you only stayed there one night?
Oh, I was there for a week. I was there for 2 weeks. I was there for 2 weeks.
Why didn't you check in somewhere?
Because I didn't have any money. And I was just like, and I said to
my... You couldn't stay with Jason Wallner?
I did not know him at that point.
Oh,
I know.
Can you imagine the time?
I can't believe a world where I didn't know him.
He was a child actor. He turned out okay.
Yeah, it's up for debate.
And what a debate!
That would be some debate.
Yeah.
He would love... I'm sure he would love that this is being talked about now. Now, Julie Klausner, when
yeah.
does America get to see Difficult People?
I think the summer. I think August, but I don't know.
Okay. But it's coming.
It's coming, yeah.
And it's how many episodes?
Eight
episodes.
Yeah.
And it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
So people got to get their Hulu in order.
They get their Hulu on.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has Hulu. You go to Hulu.com. It's easy to find.
Yes.
Right?
It is easy to find. And you could just get it, though. You don't you need... It's
no,
just Hulu.
You don't need... What, you mean like...
Hulu Plus.
I have Hulu Plus, and it's all just Criterion movies I never watch.
I'd hope you'd have Hulu. What if they were just like, man, we can't give you Hulu Plus?
Oh, they didn't give it to me. I'm paying for it.
They didn't?
But, like, what are they going to reference me to somebody in some department? Like, it's just easier to pay the whatever.
Yes, it is easier.
Isn't it?
Like, there is that point where it's like, ooh, what can I get from Hulu?
Right. It's how much are you working for that free thing?
Yeah. When you try to get that free thing, then you're making a fourth call and sending another email.
Hi, Gerald. Like,
hi, Julie.
Just following up on my free Hulu Plus membership. As you know,
because I'm doing the thing for Hulu, and I mean, if I can't, you think that would be a part of the thing.
I don't have time for that.
Hi, Julie. I talked to someone over
I talked to Lorna. Yeah. Lorna wants to know what kind of modem you have.
And then finally, some 19-year-old working is just like,
yeah,
I'm just going to buy this for her. Just so
I stop getting emails that I have to respond to.
Yeah, I got your Hulu member. I got your Hulu Plus figured out for
you. It's on my Amex.
And it's going to
my
his.
Dad's Amex.
Yeah, it's going to my dad.
It's easier that way.
Yeah, just put it on my PayPal. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play a record. And then we're going to come back and talk about your stupid achievements, Julie Klausner, and other people's on the phones. People are calling 201-332-3484. And then I'm also going to read the updated top 100 fictional characters of all time list. Now, everybody, you remember. I announced it tonight. Tickets. The Sharpling and Worcester are playing live in Nashville on May 16th, at Third Man Records. That's Jack White's emporium. It's one of the greatest places. I saw it last year, got a tour. It's one of the coolest places going. We're super excited that we're playing there. Tickets are on sale now. You go to thirdmanstore.com. And if it wasn't exciting enough, we will be recording the show as a release for part of the Third Man Live LP series. So get your tickets. It's going to sell out. Third Man Records, Sharpling and Worcester live in Nashville. And I'm going to play something from this new record from Mac McCann. He has a solo album, and it's not under the Portastatic name. It's as Mac McCann. So let's hear something called, it's an album called Non-Believers, comes out in May. And here's a song called Box Batteries. Let's check this out, and we will be back with Julie Klausner in a few minutes. Yeah, how about that? Mac McCann, solo album. Good stuff. I knew he could do it. Usually he's under Portastatic, but now he's doing it under his own name. That's awesome. And the record's really great. And we will be hearing more from that as the best show goes on and on. Oh, guys, people ask, how can I support the best show? Well, it's simple. There's a few ways to do it. download the show, download all the episodes, download them all. Support the sponsors. We got Squarespace today sponsoring the show, and DraftKings.com. So if you're interested in the products, you go and support the products. You use the code that I give out at during the show. We give codes out. Gotta use the code. Then you can always buy stuff. We have the StereoLaughs.com. We've got shirts and CDs there. And then there's the big box set, the Numero Group box set, the best of Sharpling and Worcester, the best of the best show. Giant box, 16 CDs, 100-page hardcover book, which really super... I'm super proud of it. Julie Klausner wrote an essay for it, which is really great. Yeah, so that's how you show support. And sign up for the mailing list over at thebestshow.net. Haven't opened an Under the Dome pack in a couple weeks. As you know, Jason, the studio dude who built the studio, a.k.a. Dudio, brought this pack, this box of trading cards for Under the Dome, the TV series, for season one. A pack, and I said I'd open a pack every week, and sometimes I forget. So I'll open a pack this week. See what's in it. Ooh. Picture of a town. Speak of the Devil card, picture of the woman with the gun there. Manhunt, it's some kids with the thing, and then another one of some kids holding their hands up to the dome, and then Curtains, the one with the doctor there staring at the dome. These Under the Dome cards, they're losing their charge, guys. Sorry, Dudio. I might just toss the rest of this box. We have Julie Klausner in the studio. Star of the upcoming show, Difficult People, on Hulu. Which will be starting soon. You'll find out when.
Yeah.
Maybe August.
I'm not going to come on to promote that. I'm going to come on to promote that Animal Planet show I told you about, remember? I'm not coming on the best show when Difficult People comes out. I'm coming on when there's this special I taped for Animal Planet called America's Next Cat Star.
America's Next Cat Star.
I told you about that.
Oh, you did?
I showed you the script.
Yeah, where it was, you're a judge on it.
Yeah, like American Idol. There's three of us.
And you were... trying to maybe be like the Simon.
I wasn't trying to do anything except for do me. But like the producer kept coming out and telling me not to be so negative.
About the cat videos.
Yeah, like we were supposed to judge the cat videos.
They were showing cat videos of just like, here's a cat.
Wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
And here's a cat that climbs up a rock. Mm-hmm. And here's a cat that, I don't remember the other ones. One was just fat. And, like, they showed a clip of the fat cat, and I just went, no, 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 no. I got so mad that, like, the owners would let a cat get that fat.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy, the producer's like, hey, maybe be a little more positive about the cat videos. With the cats are just trying to have a good time. We're trying to just pick the next cat superstar here. And so it was you and two other judges.
Yes.
And then you guys, look, I'm not, right. America will find out.
Who won?
What the next cat
Who
super,
the next cat superstar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so was this the kind of thing where, like, little Bub is home watching it going, like, What's going on with these cat? These are not cat. This is what you call a cat video.
Or like these like, it's like when I watch SNL, there's like two people on that cast that I think are like stars. Mm-hmm. And the rest are just sort of like really talented people. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Little Bub is like. These are mm-hmm. talents, but are they stars?
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. It's like, look, you're doing a great job.
Yeah, but you're not like, you know, Bill Murray.
Yes. I would say Vanessa Bayer is a star. I think
Vanessa Bayer is so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I love her so much.
She
just makes me smile looking at her.
Because she can do stuff that's so... She has such a heart in everything she
does.
Yeah,
she really does.
Like, she can't not bring herself to the thing.
And she has such a great heart you can see from across the Mississippi.
I think from across Mississippi. The Mississippi. Yes. I think that's the saying.
Okay.
Yes.
I
can see your heart from across the Mississippi. Look, I know this is a cliche.
The Mississippi.
Yeah. But I see your heart from across the Mississippi. Yeah, no, she's amazing. I like Vanessa Bayer, and she's gonna come on here over the summer. She has a movie coming out, Trainwreck. Trainwreck. If the movie you've selected is Trainwreck, press 2 now. Do you think anyone calls movie phone anymore?
Oh.
Does that guy even just bother? He's just like,
yeah.
Why bother?
That's his suicide note.
Look, movie phone guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the list, movie phone guy. Record it. They have them just, like, tied up in a room. Avengers, Age of Ultron.
And then one day he comes in and they have, like what they did for Roger Ebert before he died. Like, they took all of his words and made, like, a whole vocabulary. So you could, like, hit a button and he'd be like, the fault in our stars.
he's gone. Oh, yeah, he left. Or if he's just like, he's like, if the movie you've selected is I'm Being Held Prisoner, select one. Like, he's just making movie titles that are, like, trying to get help. He's like, if the movie you've selected is I'm Being Held Captive in a Warehouse, press 3 now. Press 911 now. If the movie you've selected is the movie phone guy is tied to a chair. In an abandoned office.
I know he doesn't look like Max Hedger, but I keep picturing him looking like Max Hedger.
With the cool sunglasses.
Yeah, with the prosthetics, like, glued to his face. Because if you ever see that guy out of the Max Hedger prosthetics, his forehead is too... He's, like, really, really big.
Matt Frewer. I feel like Jake Fogelness now, naming Matt Frewer. You know, as soon as you said the guy, you said, you know, the Max Edward Jake screamed, Matt Frewer! He screamed at his computer, it's Matt Frewer! Come on, Julie, get your head in the game! Jake screaming. All right, let's do a quick... Back to the phones here. Besho, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is Thaddeus out in Old Bridge.
Thaddeus in Old Bridge.
Yeah. I wanted to contribute to the topic. The topic is...
Stupid achievements.
I once beat both Orville and Wilbur Wright in a spaghetti eating contest.
Thad?
Yes.
I mean, Orville...
It's Thaddeus. Show me some respect.
Okay, Thaddeus. Orville and Wilbur Wright. I mean, they've been dead for decades.
Yeah. So have I. I'm a ghost.
You're a ghost? So, you're a ghost, but you called in. Okay, I guess the ghost hung up. Thaddeus. A ghost called. That's a new...
You don't seem scared at all.
Because I will be scared as that one dawns on me. That will scare me when I realize that a ghost just called and said he ate. He out-ate Orville and Wilbur Wright in a spaghetti eating contest. I got to read this. Last week we did the top 100.
Oh, I have some omissions.
Oh, okay. Well, I made some adjustments.
I have some particular omissions.
So get ready. Let's see. You ready for this, Mike? Just so you know, I bumped 8 people from the list. 8 people are gone who were on this list before. Where is it? This is not the right one. I don't want to read some rogue list. I have these people all over me. You read the wrong one. Okay. We'll go from 100 to number 1. And I will make note when positions have changed. This is the official top 100 fictional characters of all time list, with adjustments having been made based on Twitter and emails and things people had flagged that were not added to the list before. Number 100, Turtle from Entourage. Number 99, Jake from Adventure Time. That's down from number 94. Number 98, Roger Kaputnik from Mad Magazine. Number 97, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer. Number 96, the PC from the Apple commercials. Number 95, Patsy Stone from Absolutely Fabulous. New at number 94, Amy Jellicoe from Enlightened. Laura Dern's character.
I remember when you were obsessed with that show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it went away. Number 93, new to the list, The Whammy from Press Your Luck. The Whammy is on the list. New at number 92, Jack Decker from the show Decker, portrayed by Tim Heidecker. That made the list. Number 91, Moby Dick from Moby Dick. Number 90, Freddie Quell from The Master. Number 89, The Scorpions album cover, Guy with the Forks in His Eyes, from the cover of the album Blackout. Big fall. This might be the biggest fall on the list. Number 88, Conrad Birdie, down from number 17.
What happened?
It moved. The list had some traction. There's a movement here. Number 87, Quasimodo, the rapping aardvark from hip-hop. Number 86, Randy Marsh from South Park. Number 85, the Phoenix Suns gorilla. Number 84, Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched. Number 83, John Kreese from Karate Kid, the villain from Karate Kid. Big fall here. Number 82, Defense from Falling Down. Michael Douglas's character from Falling Down. Currently at 82, previously at number 37. Number 81, Buford T. Justice from Smokey and the Bandit. Number 80, The Giggler from Death Wish 3. Number 79, Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec. Down from 64. That's another fall. Number 78, Coach McGurk from Home Movies. Number 77, Madam. You're a big fan of Madam.
You're looking up whenever you think something will interest me. And so yes, far it's been for Madam. Conrad Birdie and for Madam. I'm calling okay. Glad.
Number 76, The Thing. Number 75, Paulie's Robot from Rocky IV. Another fall, Peppermint Patty from Charlie Brown at 74, down from 56. Number 73, The Old Man from Led Zeppelin IV. And this is not the old man in the one holding the lantern. This is the old man from the cover with the sticks on his back. Number 72, The Cardiff Giant. Number 71, Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development. Number 70, a Martian, any Martian from Mars Attacks. Number 69, I had it as Nathan Thurm, Martin Short's character, but I'm going back to the original. It's Lawrence Orbach from SCTV. That is the superior character. Number 68, The General from the insurance commercials. Number 67, Roz from Night Court. 67, President Camacho from Idiocracy. Number 65, The Wife of Bath from Canterbury Tales. Moving up, number 64, Lynn from I'm Alan Partridge, previously at 79, now at 64. Number 63, new to the list, Dirty D from Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, portrayed by Lisa Jane Persky. Holding steady at number 62, Judge Smales from Caddyshack. Number 61, Waldo Jeffers, the lead character of the song by the Velvet Underground, The Gift. Number 60, Big Fall, Peter Venkman from Ghostbusters, down from 28. Number 59, Hamlet from Hamlet. Number 58, Locked In. You might as well get this one tattooed on your arm. Brody from Seinfeld. The guy forcing Jerry to bootleg the movies. Number 57, Superintendent Chalmers from The Simpsons. Big climb up at 56. Cy Abelman from A Serious Man, up from 74. Number 55, Meat Wad. Number 54, Sophia Petrillo from The Golden Girls. Number 53, Bill McNeil from News Radio, Phil Hartman's character. Number 52, Dean Lerner from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, portrayed by Richard Ayoadeh. Biggest fall of the list at number 51, Santa Claus, all the way from number 4 to number 51. Number 50, halfway through, Ted Baxter from Mary Tyler Moore Show. 49, The Rock. Number 48, The DJ from The Warriors. Another plummet here. Merv the Perv, Chris Parnell's character from Saturday Night Live. Number 46, Larry Johnson, the basketball player, as Grandmama from the commercials, up from 47. That's a move of one slot. Number 45, The Counselor from The Counselor. Number 44, Ellen Ripley from Alien. Number 43, Droopy from Mr. Show. That's Bob Odenkirk's character with the head cold in the donut shop from season one or two of Mr. Show. Number 41, one of Mike's favorites, Chucky from Sons of Anarchy, the guy with the rubber hands who got too self-touchy and the Sons of Anarchy chopped his hands off. At number 40, Jerry Blank from Strangers with Candy. Number 39, Harold from Harold and the Purple Crayon. Number 38, Quark the Ferengi from Star Trek. Moving up, big climb here, all the way at 37 from previously at number 82, Lois from Goodfellas. You might know her as the woman who was helping Henry Hill run drugs but needed her lucky hat. And that's why they got busted, because they had to go back and get the hat. And number 36, Ignatius J. Riley from a Confederacy of Dunces. 35, Tommy Saxendale, Steve Coogan's character from Saxendale. Number 34, Manny Fraker from Death Wish 3, the villain from Death Wish 3. Number 33, Walter Sobchak from The Big Lebowski. Number 32 was Harry, the guy with the snake on his face from SCTV. But I need to go. It's John Candy. It's our chance to represent him on the list. I feel like it should either be Johnny LaRue or William B. Williams. Who should it be, Julie?
Well, I actually had a John Candy pitch.
What was that?
His character in Splash, Freddie.
Oh, that's one of the... Yeah, that's a good one.
To me, that's like John Candy.
How many times did you see Splash?
Uncountable.
Yeah, I probably saw Splash 6 times in the theater.
I don't remember being alive in a time when I hadn't seen Splash. Oh.
Yeah, what a crazy... I saw that movie so many times.
His entrance when he comes in and he's holding Penthouse. He goes, they printed my letter! It's like, what an entrance in like a family movie. Yeah. Like, printed my letter!
I remember him... Was he speaking in Swedish at the one point? Like, hey, you're yeast! And he... We'll keep discussing where John Candy is.
John Candy character TK.
Yes. Number 31, Joe Gideon from All That Jazz. In at number 30, new to the list, Greg Universe from Steven Universe, the character I portray, pure self-promotion, up one slot. From number 30 to number 29, Liz Lemon from 30 Rock. At number 28, up, this did not move, Frankie Teardrop, the titular character from the Suicide song, Frankie Teardrop, up from number 29. Jackie Brown from the movie Jackie Brown, Pam Grier's character. At number 26, Count Floyd moved all the way up from 51 to 26. Wonder Woman at 25, holding steady there. The top 25 now. Number 24, D from What's Happening. You remember D, the little...
Peanut butter loving...
Little troublemaking kid. Big Fall, Neil Hamburger, from 14 to 22. Holding steady at number 21, the camp comfort clerk from National Lampoon's Vacation, as portrayed by Brian Doyle Murray. Number 20, down from number 16, Bigfoot. Number 19, previously number 22, Edith Prickly, portrayed by Andrea Martin. Number 18, Sheriff Brody from Jaws. Roy Scheider makes the list twice. New to the list at number 17, the obnoxious kid from Weekend at Bernie's. The kid who buries Bernie in the sand and flips off Jonathan Silverman and Andrew McCarthy, portrayed by Jason Walliner, child actor Jason Walliner. Okay, that's number 17, new to the list. Up from number 20 to number 16, Omar Little from The Wire. New to the list, Ron Burgundy from Anchorman has to make the list. Will Ferrell's on the list. Number 14, all the way from 46 to 14, Luke Cage, Power Man. At number 14, down from number 9 to number 13, Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood. Number 12, Tony Soprano. Number 11, Stephen Colbert, down from number 8. Now here's the top 10. You ready for this, Mike? You're probably worked up in such a frenzy, aren't you? Out there. Number 10, Marge Gunderson from Fargo, up from 26. Number 9, Jim Rockford from Rockford Files, up from number 10. Another jump. Number 8, previously number 15, Bugs Bunny. In the top 10, new to the list, in the top 10. Riff Randall from Rock and Roll High School. PJ Souls, the rock and roll fan who was responsible for ultimately blowing up her high school, has to be represented. Up from number 6, previously number 7 last week, John Wick, the star, the Keanu Reeves' character from the movie John Wick, is at number 6. Number 5, Rupert Pupkin from The King of Comedy. Up from number 6 previously at number 4 now, Alan Partridge. And then the top 3, Clifford from the movie Clifford, Navin R. Johnson from The Jerk, and at number 1 still, Chris Peterson from Get a Life. So that's the list. So this is who fell off the list. Papa John, he was at number 13, he's gone. Tony Clifton was at 19. He's off the list now. Why?
It's because of that Gilbert Gottfried.
It's because of, yes, podcast. Because Bob Zemuda has polluted the character to the point where he has to be removed from the list. Number 60, formerly at number 60, Thor from Norse mythology is gone now. Number 68, Dalton from Roadhouse, that's Patrick Swayze's character, off the list. Number 88, Tony Perkis from the movie Heavyweights. Ben Stiller is not on the list now. His character from the movie Heavyweights is off the list. Number 92, Lamb Chop, off the list. This one's going to sting, Mike. Dr. Cronut, off the list. Your character, Dr. Cronut. What's that? What's that? Yeah, no, it's not very good, Mike. And Luther from Runaway, Gene Simmons' character from the movie Runaway, the Tom Selleck movie Runaway, was number 99, now off the list. And bubbling under at number 101 is still Kimmy Schmidt hanging in there. And number 102, the two guys from the Sonic commercials are there. The Thelma and Louise for dudes. Do you think dudes look at those guys as their Thelma and Louise?
I think they think they're really cool.
Like... Man, I wish I could be as cool as these Sonic guys.
Yes,
exactly. I mean, the one guy's always ordering hot dogs.
His character's like shivering that you're doing. Yeah. He's like, he's like.
I'm doing the male version of Andrew Dice Clay's wife.
Got it.
But I wish I could be as cool as those Sonic guys. Now, people had suggested Andrew Dice Clay's wife be on the list, which I feel I'm going to put her at 103. Because that is a fictional character.
I just have one pitch.
Sure, yes,
I'm only going to pitch you one.
By all means.
You don't have a villain from the Batman TV series.
That's true.
So I pitch you Egghead.
Egghead, I'm going to put this down. This will be bubbling under, and we will find this. These people will make a move here. You know who's not on the list also?
Hmm.
You're right. There was no representation. There's not a lot of villains on the list in general. All week on Twitter, why isn't Hank Kingsley on there? Why isn't Hank Kingsley? Well, go ask Gary Shandling why he was mean to me on Twitter, and then you know why Hank Kingsley was not on this list. A character, we all get punished then because of one. It's like in school. It's like we're all getting punished. Sorry, guys. We're all punished because Gary Shandling couldn't be a nice guy on Twitter for 5 minutes. So that's why Jeffrey Tambor is punished now. We all suffer a little bit because he doesn't know how to mind his P's and Q's. Kenny Powers is not on the list. Kenny Powers should be on that list, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know who to kick off, though. I don't know. I gotta figure that out. Mike wants me to kick Hamlet off.
I thought he was going to say Santa.
I could kick Santa off for Kenny Powers. I'm going to sleep. Next month, we'll do a revised list. Yeah, people were twisted that Hank Kingsley wasn't on there. Too bad. It's Gary's fault. Right? The bad Gary. Not the good Gary.
Yeah, the double R.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be double R Gary.
No.
Shandling and Marshall.
You rang. It's Gary the Squirrel. What is up? What's up?
Hi, Gary.
Julie.
Hi, Gary.
Me, Julie. You didn't get Borat on that list. Hey, Mike. You should have been on that list. Your character. Yeah. Boring. It's an oldie but a goodie. Still works. What's up, Julie?
Hi, Gary. It's so good to see you and
it's good
these
to see
new
you.
Digs.
I know. The new digs. The new digs. Are you excited about summer movies?
Yes. Like Ant-Man?
Ant-Man, I can't wait. Ant-Man! Rod! Rod! After this, I gotta get going. You know why?
Why?
I gotta get online for the first showing of Paul Blart 2! Paul Blart! Mall Cop!
What's the premise of this one? He's somewhere else?
He's in Vegas!
Right.
Picture that, he's in Vegas!
I'm picturing it.
My prediction for this movie... Blart 2! Mall! Flop! Cop flop! It's so depressing. You're watching these shows and he's on there. It's like Kevin James is on there, like dressed as Paul Blart, riding a Segway around. What's that like? That's the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
Wait, he does the talk show circuit as yeah, Paul Blart?
Like he has to go on a Segway. So I'm on the Good Morning America.
As the other Paul day. Blart? He stays in character?
Like he rode on the set on a Segway. All right, George Stephanopoulos. It's me, Paul Blart. And they're all just like, oh boy, this is sad. How's that not depressing? He's backstage. Being like, really? I can't just promote a movie like a normal star? I gotta ride a Segway on set? Half pretend I'm Paul Blart. Oh, boy. Hey, Mike. Yeah. You going to see Paul Blart? Well, yeah, you'd never be able to follow the second one. You didn't see the first one. How could you ever know what was going on with the second one? You know when it, like the warning, it says like,
drug use.
Yeah.
Things like that. You know what it says for Paul Blart, too? Seriously? It says, if this box is going to determine whether you see Paul Blart 2 or not, you might as well just go see it. Hey, Julie, do you hear about Mike?
What about Mike?
Mom, I'm not saying that Mike is an idler. Hey, Mike, you ready for this one? What's that? I'm not saying that you're an idler. But you came up with a great labor-saving device. Tomorrow! Hey, Mike, I'm not saying you're an idler. But you're too lazy to walk in your sleep. You hitchhike. Hey, Mike. Mike, did you leave? I'm not saying that you're an idler. But you get winded playing chess. Nothing? You're busy rusting on your laurels. Get it? I do. I got a new book. The Gargantuan Book of Insult, Offensive, and Effrontery. Sharp retorts, riposts, caustic quips, and impolite put-downs! Hey, Mike. Eh, never mind, these stink. Wonder if I could bring this book back. This book's not so good. Mike got his cuckoo clock repaired. This one's stupid.
Yeah, no, we took
cuckoo clock.
Come on, just finish it.
Now the cuckoo bird backs out and says, "What time is it?"
I don't get it.
I don't know
if I get that.
Oh boy, I think I got ripped off on this.
That book looks like it cost like 25. It's like someone left it outside. It doesn't look like it.
25 what?
Cents.
Cents! I bought this new!
It looks like it's from the Barnes & Noble, like, cutout section by the calendars.
I wish! I special ordered it!
You didn't. You did.
I needed to punch up the act!
It just seemed... Okay.
I did get burned!
You got burned when he called you an idler, like, 4 times.
Yeah. Hey, Mike! Yeah, what's with the lag? It's me reading, looking for a good joke in this dud of a joke book. Let's see. Mike never made the list of who's who, but he's sure to be in who's through. Yeah, that sucked. Yeah, I gotta try to find the receipt for this thing. Gotta get a refund. One of the summer movies. You like the movies?
I love the movies. I haven't been to a movie in a long time.
Screeners. I get screeners now.
What was the last screener you saw?
Big Eyes.
And?
Come see, come see.
Yeah, I heard eh. I heard eh.
Christoph Waltz.
That was a, like, weird casting, right?
You've seen the thing. Every movie, it's like that guy, and suddenly there's a dude with an accent. It's like, hey, this guy's got an accent. Isn't he supposed to learn to just, like, do it, like, flat? Isn't that, like, the big thing? That dude don't change for nothing. Because usually he's, like, a British person, they're just, like, doing the American voice. Christoph Waltz is just like, yeah, don't hire me if you don't want me to do Christoph Waltz.
He's not very versatile.
You see, the thing is, I don't, that's not even, I'm bombing! Thanks, Mike. You got in my head. I'm tight. Choking. Not even going to announce my new podcast now.
Okay.
One-on-one with Gary the Squirrel. In-depth interviews. Coming soon. Coming soon.
You're a good interviewer.
Wait till you hear this first one I did with Kindler. Andy Kindler.
You guys have a chemistry that's unparalleled, Gary. You and Andy Kindler.
He's all right.
It's like your long-lost brothers. I'm going to...
He's funny.
He's a funny guy.
I like him.
I like him, too.
Summer plans? Do you have any?
Not as of yet. What about you? Movies and what? Lemonade,
I'm gonna go back to L.A.
You're going back to L.A. for the summer?
Got an audition.
You pitching?
Get out there.
Okay.
Get my face there. Got any room for me in Difficult People?
It isn't, I mean, it is in New York.
So, I could play like your buddy.
Well, yeah.
I could play like your landlord.
Sure.
Yeah. Pay the rent!
What did you
pay say? The rent!
Oh, pay the rent, right. Yeah, that could be your line.
Pay the rent?
Your catchphrase?
That's my catchphrase. I'll even have a shirt. Pay the rent!
I think it's a good idea.
What's your character's last name?
Kessler.
Hey, Kessler! Pay the rent! Pay it! Pay it! What part of pay the rent do you not understand?
I like that embellishment.
I like a tool belt.
Like you want Schneider. A tool
Like Schneider.
Schneider's not on that character list. Nor is Monroe from Too Close for Comfort.
Monroe! Henry Rush! He's always mad.
Well, he was also unable to make a cartoon without, like, acting it out with a puppet.
Right? He's got problems.
Yeah.
Cosmic Cow! Hey, Mike! What if the two of me and you, we put all this aside? I know you're always bad-mouthing me. Backstabbing. Down-talking me. What if me and you, we blart it up this weekend? Right? Let's just blart it up! How's that sound? Where should we see it? The Bayonne Theater? Me and you, the idea of going to the movie, you know how you go to the movies in Bayonne?
How's that?
You look for the dude in the ShopRite parking lot selling bootleg DVDs. That's called going to the movies in Bayonne. Bayonne movies. DVDs out of trunk. All right, I gotta go blart it up.
It's good to see you, Gary.
It's great to see you. Difficult People! Coming soon to Hulu. And check out, AP Mike's got a new show.
What's that?
Drunk People. You can see that on Hulu Minus. Right, Mike? I got you at the end. Oh, boy, so lifeless. Hey, you got me. You got me. Yeah, look, Those other jokes stunk all minute. All right, I gotta hit the road. Catch you on the flip-flop!
Bye, Gary.
Kessler! Pay the rent! Kessler!
There he goes.
Oh, it's good
he
to
ran
see
away.
Him. He's make such a good appearance.
You screamed.
When I couldn't help it. I was so... I'm sorry.
Kessler.
Yeah.
He's like, this is catchphrase now. Pay the rent, Kessler.
One day he's going to get it wrong. He's going to say Kindler.
Yeah.
Kindler, Kessler, or Klausner.
Now,
ew.
When you think about sitcoms, and you think about, like, Laverne and Shirley, which took place in Milwaukee, I'm going to just tell you a sitcom event and tell me how what your take on this in real life would be.
Okay.
There's two women in the 50s.
Sure.
They live in Milwaukee.
Okay.
There's these two creeps, these two hoodlums who live in the building, right?
Yeah.
And they just walk in all the time. They just open the door and go, hello. Well, Laverne. Hello, Laverne. Shirley. And so.
Yes.
These two guys who open these women's apartment door at their own discretion.
Right.
These two women finally.
Yeah.
They move to Los Angeles. Right? They go across the country. Right? They get an apartment in Los Angeles. And then these two guys move into the same building. They go across the country too and get an apartment in the same building. You see it one way on a sitcom.
Right.
In real life, what would the headline be? That would be just like...
Stalkers cross state lines.
Like, it's the creepiest
thing
ever. Yeah, those two guys who we don't like, they moved. It would be enough if they like, it would be the creepiest thing ever if they moved
to
Los Angeles.
City, just,
they moved to Los Angeles too. What part of town? Well, they're across town, but still they're in the same state. Just imagine. No, they're in our building. And they're still throwing our door open anytime they want. Did the Big Ragu move across at least? How did the Big Ragu not...
Carmine?
Yeah, wasn't his name the Big Ragu?
Well, Carmine was the one they were always like...
I go from rags to riches. He always had that song he sang.
That would make Shirley put on her underpants that had the butt connected to it. Like, she had those underpants that made her butt look bigger whenever Carmine was around.
Did she?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I think so. I could be remembering it oddly, but I remember there was like a plot with a pair of underpants with like butt cheeks.
Enhancements.
Like, yeah, that she'd put those on for Carmine.
The Big Ragu. So they all just moved across the country? All together, like individually? We're all in this building together. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard. The Big Ragu. You got Lenny and Squiggy. Like, that would be the kind of thing we'd just be like. It would be like a movie. Picture like...
Yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy, or a
Jennifer Lopez movie would be like, she's getting away from these...
Yeah.
Her and her roommate are fine. We're safe here now. We're safe. Then all of a sudden it's night. Hello! That'd be like the creepiest scene of like a suspense movie.
Right.
Hello. Like, they're here. They're in the building.
It could be called Hello.
It could be.
That could be the name.
Yeah. Hello, goodbye.
Hello, an exercise in horror.
Yeah. Hello. And the hello would be more sinister. All right, let's take some calls. Well, the show's almost over.
Oh, my goodness.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Good evening, Tom and Julie. I have one for the topic of stupid achievements.
What do you got?
I play in a softball league in Portland, Oregon with Stephen Malkmus, and my team made it to the championship last year and his didn't, and I feel kind of stupidly proud of that because he's kind of like a rock hero of mine.
Yes. He is.
So you play in a softball league with him?
Yes, we both play in the same league, yeah.
You bring your albums to the games, get them signed?
I've thought about it. I don't want to mess with him.
You're not on the same team, though.
We're not on the same team, no. He plays for a different team.
I picture you dropping the ball when he hits it, just like give him a, like, right? Maybe let him score.
Hey, Steve, after the game, you're like, hey, Steve, I dropped the ball and I wanted you to score because I love pavement so much.
Well,
I might do that.
I'm sure he loves that you're talking about this on a show that he loves now that you've...
I haven't mentioned his team. I haven't mentioned what position he plays. I haven't mentioned the pink sequined hat that he wears.
Oh, you're creepy. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ben in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ben in Raleigh, North Carolina. What's up?
I went for the topic.
What do you got?
I used to be really, really into a computer gaming company in the 1980s and early 90s called Sierra Games.
Okay.
And a game came out around 1995 called Phantasmagoria, and it was really sophisticated for the time period. It wasn't cartoony. It was live action, which for 1995 was a little bit different. There was a contest on a Sierra message board where it became known that you could click on a certain few parts of the screen while playing the game, kind of like a code or an Easter egg, and make the main character experience really disgusting stomach issues. And my sister and I figured it out, and we got our names on a website. And keep in mind, this is a 1995-era website, a tripod.com website before the Internet was so expansive. And that website is still up on the Internet to this day. I have no idea how, but it is, and that's my stupid achievement, and that's all I got.
Well, that's a pretty good one. That's pretty stupid.
Thanks, Tom.
Best show, you're on the air.
A stupid achievement.
What do you got?
I won a math contest in fifth grade that was hosted by TV's Mark Summers.
A what contest?
A national math contest.
Math contest.
Yeah, mathematics.
So the guy from Double Dare.
And What Would You Do?
And What Would You Do? Was like.
Yeah.
And Unwrapped.
Was he? What's Unwrapped?
Unwrapped is like when he takes you to a candy factory and he shows you how they make like. Candy buttons.
Yeah.
This is how they make caramel.
It's the most relaxing thing in the world. It's like in Sesame Street when they would take you to a crayon factory and you're just like, oh my God, this is so satisfying and calming.
I can't watch any show with candy.
Me neither. It actually like makes me really excited and hungry.
Do you ever feel like your teeth actually hurt when you like see candy, something like it's like you could see how sweet it is. I could feel how nauseous I would be eating it that I actually feel it.
And then you're driven toward it anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that award.
Thanks so much.
Your stupid achievement?
I can, cats like me.
Cats?
Yeah, when I go to someone's house, like,
okay.
I'm always, like, very, very excited when the pets, like, take to me. And I think to myself, oh, they know I like them. And they don't. Uh-huh. They clearly don't. But
I know what that feels like. Where you're just like, I go in and I'm just like, this dog's going to flip. This dog's going to love my.
Dogs do love you. Yeah. They could, I mean, I don't know.
Don't worry, I'm in with this.
Yeah.
All right, where's your dog?
He awfully wants an autograph from Dog Guy.
I felt that way about my 22 VHS tapes of Morton Downey Jr. that I had bought on eBay, and then the person clearly got in trouble selling them from someone in the Morton Downey Jr. camp, and then because I wrote. Person's like, I got all kinds of other stuff. I'm like, oh, great. And then I wrote, and they're like, yeah, I can't. I got a thing. It was clearly they got ripped a new one by maybe his widow.
Yeah, who's left in that?
I think his wife would have been the one.
Okay.
And then, but I'm just like, I still got the good stuff. I got it before this guy got shut down. And then people are like,
oh.
Really? 22 VHS tapes?
And yep. You won, and you're the
yeah.
one?
Yeah. That's right, guys. 22. It's like, wait, I got 22 of these things.
Have you watched all of them?
Watched most of them. A lot of... There were nights when that person should have not set it to LP, the six-hour taping speed, not realizing that 25 years later might not exactly help the viewing experience. Watch this on a six-hour tape. You could have sprung for the extra $4 back then. Would have helped me out a lot now. Best show, you're on the air.
I have a stupid achievement. Sorry, this is Nick from Panda, Connecticut.
Okay, what do you got?
I've used and had a legitimate reason to use every station on the New Haven line of Metro North from New Haven to Stamford, and for some reason, I'm absurdly proud about that.
Okay, well, you knocked the whole line off. You did it. Congratulations. We'll go real fast here. Best show, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Coney Rocky Horror from Twitter. I know, stupid name. I have a stupid
name. No. Coney Rocky Horror? That's not a stupid name.
Okay, well, all the same, my stupid achievement. I met Jerry Mathers at a mall grand opening when I was like 9 years old.
The Beaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. Yeah, from TV's Leave It to Beaver. He signed autographs, and he did a Q&A after he signed autographs. And I asked him if the coffee that him and Larry Mondello put in the pipe was real coffee. He didn't know.
That's not even an achievement, though.
Not achievement.
Yeah, you didn't achieve it, though.
I
had the presence
story.
Of mind as a 9-year-old to ask about Leave It to Beaver ephemera. I
okay,
could have been like,
look. Okay, fair enough. As a 9-year-old, you were able to put together a capable...
Precocious.
Yes. You sure. Okay. You got it. Great job.
Fair enough. As a 9-year-old...
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sharon in Brooklyn.
Sharon in Brooklyn.
Sarah in Brooklyn.
Sarah in Brooklyn. What part of the college campus... Are you on?
Which dorm are you
yeah,
in?
Yeah, which dorm?
You're on North Campus?
You start
or?
Calling all the boroughs.
Staying in Park Slope. Living in.
Okay, really embarrassingly, I'm actually calling from Queens because I got priced out of Brooklyn already. But I called into the old version of the show from Brooklyn, so
okay.
I don't know. That's probably actually related to my stupid achievement is like feeling way too proud of a call that goes well in the past.
Well, they, don't worry. You're doing great. What is the what do you got for the topic?
Well, I have one of mine and one of an acquaintance, but I know you're really late in the show. Do you want to pick one?
Yours.
Okay, so I used to for a living write these really really stupid nonfiction books for young adults, and they were on just like really like far out topics, like somewhere like 1 week I'd be writing about salt and pepper, the next week I'd be writing about NASCAR, and then I'd be writing about like global warming, or, like, you know, just like a crazy, like I wrote a whole book about fly fishing and I've never been fishing.
But like, so you'd research it and then just crank out the book.
Right, exactly. And at a certain point, I started trying to see, like, how stupid of sentences that I could, like, get in there and still get it past the editor, because these were all also done under, like, pseudonyms, right? So it's, like, not under my name.
Okay.
And I got what I thought was just, like, the dumbest sentence that I have ever written into print.
What is it?
Fly fishing book. It was the expert angler needs the mind of an entomologist. The now I'm nervous talking to you, Tom, and I'm
don't worry.
Gonna forget. The expert angler needs the mind of an entomologist, the eye of a sharpshooter, the feet of a ninja, and the hands of a puppeteer.
And that made it. That's in the book.
That's in the book.
Well, that's
like in
That's library. Awesome.
So that was your the game within the game.
Exactly. Exactly. Way too proud of it.
Yes. All right. Well, congratulations. I support that one completely. Well, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Bye. Guys, we're going to do the half hour of power. I'm sorry I didn't announce it earlier. We'll tweet about it too. From now on, the calls are going to be for the half hour of power. So, because we got to wrap up the best show. I want you all to call in at 201-332-3484 for the half hour power, the half hour best show, post show. And we will do that. How is your week? Is back now, mm-hmm. right? You now that the show the shooting wrapped, you can do the show again. Are you enjoying doing it again?
Yeah, I like. It's nice to be back. It's nice to check in.
Good.
Yeah, and as soon as it is not fun,
mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it.
Good.
anymore.
That's how it should be.
Yeah,
and because
I'm not paying my rent doing
no,
it.
No, there's enough people doing
right?
things. You do enough things.
But people are so nice about it. They're mm-hmm. like,
well, people really missed
it. Yes. That's
sure.
really nice to hear.
Well, people really missed it. I missed it.
Oh, well.
You're back.
I talked to you on the phone, though.
Yes, like but it's you get to hear the version of the public version of a friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and, I'm so glad you're back. Jeez Louise.
Well, I'm glad you're back. And difficult people, we will let everybody know when that's coming. People can keep their eyes and ears peeled for your show, which is going to be awesome.
America's Next Top Cat Star. I don't know when that airs, but I'm sure that they'll cut me up so that I look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It'll just look like you just love all
everything.
Cats.
And I'll just be like that. Wow, I'll just the one stupid thing I said they'll use over and over again.
And then people will be like, why didn't that judge comment on the last four cats? It's like, well, because she was
negative.
She was super negative about those cats.
Mm-hmm.
Sharpling and Worcester live in Nashville, where we are performing at the Third Man store on May 16th. Tickets are available over at thirdmanstore.com, and that will be that performance. We will be recording a live album from that for Third Man Records. So get your tickets now. It's going to sell out. The box set over at numerogroup.com. Don't miss it. The stuff at stereolaughs.com. And Jason Gore is doing Dead Dad's Club next Friday. Next Friday? He ran upstairs. And I hear him running back. Because he heard I'm halfway through the plug. That's all right. I believe it's next Friday is the final Dead Dad's Club. So do not, the 24th at the UCB Theater in New York. So people of New York, do not miss the final Dead Dad's Club. And the best show will be back next week. And I thank you, Julie Klausner, for coming down. It was so great
having
you here.
Me. Likewise.
Thank
such
you.
It's a beautiful studio. I give it my blessing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You
clearly
you did
was
give
waiting
it,
for me.
But you
give
did
it
give it
the
your blessing.
You. Oh, the mezuzah?
You gave me a mezuzah that's hanging outside the door.
I did.
A mezuzah.
Because it's a... Yes. I had it custom made from a creepy...
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. That's awesome.
A creepy woman. Who I found online and does custom mezuzahs, and we corresponded. And she said, "Would you like the squirrel to look cartoony or realistic?" And I sent her a link. I said, "It should look like this." And it was a picture of Gary. And she was like, "Got it." And then she sent me like a sketch, and I died laughing.
That is awesome. It's so great. We will be back next week. TheBestShow.net. Everybody go there and support it. And, yeah, I am going to play something by John Wesley Coleman from his album, The Love That You Own, on Burger Records. Here's a song called I Wish the Night Could Be Longer, because that's what I wish tonight. But we're going to do the half hour power, so call in, and you can check this out. It'll be available on Friday on your online providers. Here is John Wesley Coleman.